by EcoDesign Resources of Santa Cruz, just off the Santa Cruz Mall. EcoDesign Resources specializes in healthy and sustainable products for your home and office. Drop by, tell them that I sent you. Remember, tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up after the CBS News. Thank you for giving me part of your day.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Actor Heath Ledger has died in New York City. He leaves a distinguished body of work for one as young, from I'm Not There playing Bob Dylan to Brokeback Mountain playing a gay cowboy.
Do you know somebody named Jack?
He was fishing buddies.
He wound up marrying that woman, Michelle Williams, with whom they had a child. The marriage blew up recently. WCBS-TV's Hazel Sanchez.
Actor Heath Ledger was found dead inside an apartment, and police say that the apartment is owned by actress Mary Kate Olsen. Police at this hour say Heath Ledger's death is possibly drug-related.
Entertainment Tonight's Leonard Maltin.
At every turn, instead of choosing the easy way or sort of the movie star way, he chose the more unusual, the more difficult, and the more challenging part in the more challenging film.
Heath Ledger was just 28. The day on Wall Street started off rough. Even after the Federal Reserve cut interest rates 0.75 point, the Dow fell more than 400 points, but came back to close down 128. The Nasdaq lost 47 points.
The next few weeks, it's going to be hard to say which direction this market's going to go. Until earnings start to pick up and the economic news starts to show some strengthening in this economy, the stock market has no reason to have a sustainable rally.
That's CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
I believe we can't find common ground to get something done.
President Bush and congressional leaders said today they expect to have an economic stimulus package worked out within a few weeks. Republican Fred Thompson is out of the race for president. He threw in the towel today. The question, says CBS News political consultant Mark Ambinder, is to whom will he throw his support?
Of all the candidates in the field, he is personally closest to John McCain. And there is some overlap in terms of national security. But on immigration, which was an issue that Thompson tried to use to separate himself from his rivals, he's nowhere near where McCain is. And a lot of the supporters that Thompson was able to pick up are not supporters who are ideologically inclined to go with John McCain.
Thompson's campaign says he is not ready to endorse just yet. The UN Security Council has agreed on a draft for sanctions against Iran. A European diplomat says the resolution would expand existing sanctions but would not generate new ones. More discussions on a final version still to come. Death rates from heart disease and stroke are down in the last 8 years.
Part of the reason we've seen great progress is because it's such an important problem. We focused on this, but we shouldn't be complacent that the problem is solved.
Dr. Daniel Jones at the American Heart Association says heart disease deaths are down 26%, stroke deaths down a good 24%. A federal jury in McAllen, Texas, is deliberating the drug case now against a former Mexican state police commander. Carlos Landon Martinez is accused of being one of the Gulf Cartel's top operatives. This is CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry into Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
So who are this year's best actors, and which was the best movie?
They unveiled the Oscar nominees.
Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
But even as the nominees were being announced, one question overshadowed everything. Will there be an Oscar show?
We're dealing with contingencies, but we're full steam ahead.
Sid Gannis is head of the Motion Picture Academy. He acknowledged that Oscar officials are making plans for two shows, one if the writer's strike is settled, a second if the strike is still underway. With all the uncertainty, though, there were some questions. questions he could not answer.
Will stars show up if there's a strike?
Well, you know, that remains to be seen.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Who needs the in-flight movie when the possibility of sex in the tiny loo beckons? So says a survey of Australians, 2 out of 3 of whom say they are either already members of the Mile High Club or would really like to be. As TotalTravel.com put it, people are obviously looking for more stimulating entertainment than a movie or CD. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, folks. I'm Peyton Manning, inviting you to experience the Sony High Definition difference for yourself. To demonstrate how experiencing something makes a difference, I've asked Steve to give me a hand.
Hello.
Steve here thinks that
I have a weak arm.
Really? All right. So, Steve, take a few steps back.
Sure.
Ready?
Are we going to practice?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
It's important to experience something. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
And right now, through January 26th, you can save $400 on the combined purchase of a qualifying Sony Bravia LCD large screen HD TV and a qualifying Sony Blu-ray disc player. Experience the unparalleled 1080p HD picture quality this combination provides. Whether you're watching the game on your Sony Bravia HD TV or watching a movie on your Sony Blu-ray disc player, the best way to watch HD just got more affordable. To learn how you can save $400 on the ultimate HD combo, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And this word of warning, San Francisco values can be toxic to conservative Republicans. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Originating in San Francisco. And a shout out to our brand new listeners at a brand new time on Green 960. You're staying up all night. Well, I'm glad to keep you company. That's right, the late night people are fabulous. Not as well dressed, often ungroomed, but fabulous nonetheless. On today's broadcast, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to detail Republican scandals for you in just a moment. Tom Brewer is co-author of a powerful new book, and it's a hoot, too. We'll give you a chance to win a copy this hour. Next hour, we're going to talk about the deal, or is there a deal, to blow up some dams in the Klamath River so that salmon can thrive once again. We're going to talk to Steve Pettery of Oregon Wild. He does not support the deal, and there are some environmentalists who, in fact, do. On today's program as well, Jason Leopold has been digging into those missing White House emails, and in an article posted at truthout.org today, he tells us that there is a rather suspicious pattern. That at the time that the White House was fending off the issues related to the outing of Valerie Plame Wilson, entire days of email are mysteriously missing. We'll talk about that. Also, Melanie Sloan from Crew, they've been filing the lawsuits regarding the White House emails. She'll join us in our 5 o'clock hour and talk about that and other issues as well. And before the end of the show, our own film critic Gary Chu from Sacramento is going to give us a rundown on some of the Oscar nominations. It's all ahead. Your calls and comments, welcome at any moment. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Tom Brewer is half of the writing team of Amon and Brewer. They're the guys who brought us the landmark book, Sweet Jesus, I Hate Bill O'Reilly. And the new one is, wow, it actually measures up to the previous tome. It's called The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants, subtitled A Field Guide to Conservative Sex Scandals. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hey, welcome.
How are you today?
Well, you welcome. I guess I'm saying thank you. I'm good.
You're supposed to say, great to be with ya.
Yeah, that's one of those really horrible responses, welcome, when you say welcome. But I'm happy to be here. That's the best response.
Well, and of course, when you go on cable TV, like on a Bill O'Reilly show, you're at some remote location where you're staring at a camera. You can't actually see Bill,
yeah.
But he says, "Nice to see you." And then you kind of say, "Well, I can't see you, and it's not nice anyway."
Well, and you can't see the veins in his temple sort of inflating, so it's not as much fun. But
right. Before we talk about the new book, let's talk about the old one. Did you pick up on the dispute between Bill O'Reilly and John Edwards, facilitated by my radio pal, Ed Schultz, that
yeah.
O'Reilly challenges the notion that there are 200,000 homeless veterans in America?
Well, I think it's the kind of thing that, I mean, it just doesn't fit in his worldview. So, I mean, you can throw statistics at O'Reilly all day long, and he loves to say, well, that's your opinion. Or he just, you know, dismisses it out of hand. But, I mean, that's kind of the kind of thing he likes to do,
mm-hmm.
other than just, like, making up things.
Well, but that's kind of a fantasy in its own
yeah.
its own right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he also, you know, he'll dispute that, but then he makes up economics journals like the Paris Business Review.
And quotes them.
What's that?
Well, he quotes them because he's the only one who's read it.
Yeah, well, that one he appears to have made up from whole cloth, but
uh-huh.
You know, he people challenge on him, but he doesn't really refute it. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, so he's quite a character.
Yeah. Now, Tom Brewer, you and your pal Joe Amon published this new book, The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants. And
yeah.
as you started on this project, did you imagine that you might run out of subjects?
Well, you know, actually, when we first thought of doing it, it was like, well, you know, are there enough? And people like our publisher and our agent had said the same thing to us. It's
mm-hmm.
like, well, you know, are there enough of these to do? And when you research it, it's like, I mean, we actually had to narrow it down. I mean, there was more we could have put in there, but, you know, some of them weren't as either powerful or as egregious as other ones. So.
Or salacious. We like salacious.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we had reams of research that we actually whittled down to what we ended up with. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, once you get looking into the past, there's a ton more that you can draw on.
Right. I mean, you go back to Bob Packwood, some of the early gropers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are aware of the new ones. I mean, Larry Craig is something that everybody's talked about recently. But
mm-hmm.
you go back to Bob Packwood and, you know, even Neil Bush with his mysterious prostitutes showing up at the door.
Now, let's stop naming names right there, because I have a premise here for the rest of the hour. Tom, are you willing to play along?
Oh, sure.
Your publisher was silly enough to send us 8 copies of your book, The
okay.
Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants.
Right.
And I want to reward listeners who've been paying attention to Republican sex scandals. And so the way it's going to work, we're going to open up the phone lines right now. And the first 8 people who get through the program and name a Republican or conservative sex scandal that you have covered in the book will win a copy of The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants.
Well, you know, another way to approach it is like anybody who can name a Republican who hasn't had a sex scandal.
No. That would get too convoluted.
That might be a more fun contest, but I don't know.
Well, yeah. Lines are open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. Call us at 1-888-573-8372. Name a conservative/Republican sex scandal, and if it's in the book, Tom will describe it for us, and you walk away, or whatever you do, you go away with a copy of the book. 888-573-8372. And we'll go to the phones here in just a moment, but first, a message from our sponsor.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN. No.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away. Or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Hey, I'll see you at the convention in Minneapolis, for sure. Tom, have you ever heard that before?
No, I haven't.
I have no idea who produced that, but they did a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah. where did it come from?
I got it over the internets.
Okay.
It came from Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, and he doesn't know where he got it either. But it is killer, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's see who our first contestant victim here is. It's Karen in Sacramento. Hello, Karen. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Tom Brewer.
Hello, I'm ready.
You're ready. Name a conservative or Republican sex scandal.
Well, Mr. Craig in the bathroom.
Larry Craig in the bathroom. That's too easy. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, unfortunately, it's not in the book. And I can explain why. Because we actually have to write these things well in advance. And that's one that's actually on conservativesexscandals.com, which is our companion website. But technically, I don't know. I think he must have worked it out with our publicist, though, to launch it around the same time that we were launching the book, because I think it probably helped bring some awareness to the issue. So.
Yeah. Karen, I'm sorry you didn't win.
Oh, okay.
But thanks for trying. Next, we go to Scott in Eureka. Hello, Scott. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi.
Hey, guy. Hey, how you doing? Love your program.
Thank you.
Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes.
He's in the book. Yes, he is, the groping Führer.
And that one, I mean, people heard a lot about the groping and the accusations of groping, but I wonder how many people know about the thing that he had there was an interview in We Magazine.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about the gangbang he participated in.
That's right. And this, of course, was publicized before he became our governor.
Yeah, and it came out, you know, just before, too, and you guys still voted for him.
Well, yeah, it just goes to show you how desperate people were.
Yeah, well,
and you know,
Gary Coleman in that case. But.
The Attorney General at the time, Bill Lockyer, promised to investigate the groping allegations, not the group, not the gangbang thing, because that was beyond the statute of human limitations.
Yeah.
But he promised to do that, and then he just moseyed off into the sunset. He's now the state treasurer, so he doesn't have responsibility for it anymore.
Yeah.
But we never actually got to the bottom of all of those groping allegations that surfaced at the time he first took office.
One, another little footnote, just a little item that came up when I was researching that one. Right around that time that was happening, he was touring in a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the name of his bus was The Predator.
Yeah.
Kind of after the movie, which just, sort of inconvenient. Title there, but
mm-hmm.
or very fitting, I guess.
Yeah.
I knew a friend that lived in D.C. and he used to Maria Shriver used to ride in his ice cream bus when he delivered ice cream over there.
Oh, yeah.
When she was just a kid then.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, Scott.
And she wasn't groped, was she?
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah,
she's probably not quite the right age yet. But.
Well, I don't think Arnold's go for that anyway, would he?
All right, Scott, thanks for calling in today. Did we get your address yet?
No.
Okay, hold on. Brian will capture that. And within 2 weeks, I'll get to the post office and mail the books out, okay?
Hey, cool, man.
All right, Scott, thank you.
All right.
We'll take more of your calls here coming up next. If you have a Republican sex scandal that you think is in the new book, give us a call. And if it's there, you walk away with a copy of The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants. More in a moment with co-author Tom Brewer here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines.
The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests, and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Who can take California?
Who can take California?
Set it on its ear.
Set it on its ear.
Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
Girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
With apologies to Sammy Davis Jr. and the Candyman song, that's my pal Loose Bruce Kerr, and that one's called Girly Man. As we take a look at the chronicle of Republican and conservative sex scandals, we're talking with Tom Brewer, co-author of this new book. And it conveniently came out in paperback, not in a roll, though. It's called The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants, A Field Guide to Conservative Sex Scandals. And let's see, Dave in Eureka is next. Hi, Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm just sure that a famous White House correspondent named Gannon got an honorable mention.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, yes, give him a book.
Jeff Gannon is in the book, Dave.
He's in the book, yeah.
You're a winner.
Thank you.
Tell us about the guy whose real name is Guckert.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the whole name thing, and you know, my favorite part of that, which I sort of stumbled upon when I was going through, was he claimed, I think it was in the Washington Post, that you know, he wasn't really trying to avoid his past by changing his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he claimed that his real name was so difficult to pronounce and to spell.
Guckert.
Guckert.
Right.
which I found really, really remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe he had a Kung name or a Polish name or something, but it was Guckert.
And with a name like Guckert, it kind of reminds you of the Smucker's commercial.
Yeah. It's not a good name. I mean, mm-hmm. it's sort of an odd name.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. You probably have several listeners named Guckert.
Well, there might be one or two out there. Dave, thanks a lot. Hold on. We'll get your address and send you a book. And, Tom, let's take a minute here to talk about some names that probably won't come up from our listeners.
Right.
Ken Calvert, you call him the Parking Californian.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that's a nice thing for you guys, is that Californians seem to be really well represented in here. And I don't
such
know
an honor.
The size of your state or something else. But
well, you know, we get the most mega dick emails every day. And
the most what?
Mega dick. That's the product to make the male member larger.
Oh,
and I imagine somebody's consuming that stuff, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was an interesting one because he had, previous to his impeachment vote against Bill Clinton, this whole thing with he'd been found by the police parking with a prostitute. And I guess the supporters were, you know, saying, well, you know, they didn't prove that he was doing anything with the prostitute. And the prostitute herself had said, you know, we were just talking.
Right, and Jesus hung out with some prostitutes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have been saving her from getting stoned by Pharisees or something. That's possible.
Well, apparently he was preventing her from getting stoned on heroin because
yeah, well, because she was a drug addict. Very good segue there. But so you know, the funny thing about a lot of these is just when they get caught, almost nobody ever just says, "Yeah, I just wanted to bone a hooker."
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I think would be very refreshing if that's what they did. But
we were just talking, officer, he said, as he tried to cover up his crotch and pull his zipper up.
Yep, his zipper was down.
Mm-hmm.
And the police officer, I guess, had written in his report that he initially tried to take off, which probably isn't a good thing with your fly down and a prostitute in your lap. But, you know, that's what his initial thought process was.
Mm-hmm. And Ken Calvert, is he still in Congress?
I don't actually remember.
I'm going to have to look that up. I don't know either.
I don't think so.
Next up, Bill in Sacramento, listening on 1240 Talk City. Hi, Bill. Oh, I got to fade you up. Go ahead, Bill.
How about Newt Gingrich?
Newt Gingrich is in the book.
We have him in a section about House hypocrites
mm-hmm.
during the Bill Clinton impeachment.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole catalog of great Republican leaders.
Yes, which includes, you know, one of my favorites is Bob Barr, who was, well, I'm giving away names now, huh?
That's okay.
But who in addition to his, I guess, two divorces, had been seen at a Leukemia Society fundraiser licking whipped cream off a bosom of a nurse. Which when he talked about the flames of hedonism in these anti-sodomy laws that he was trying to pass, you know,
mm-hmm.
he didn't really talk much about that incident.
Right.
Barr seemed to have some redeeming qualities since then.
Well, you know, Bob Barr has come out for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney and for a restoration of constitutional rule in this country.
Exactly.
And maybe he learned that from a nurse who put whipped cream on her breast. We can
yeah.
never be too sure. Bill, hold on. We'll get your address, mail you a copy of the book, okay?
Thank you, Peter.
All right, thank you. And Tom, stay with us. We're going to do this for another half hour, and there are more great Republican sex scandals to regale our listeners with. And if you want to join in and try to win a book, there's still a chance for you to do that at 888-5-PETER-B. Call in toll-free at 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them to see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments. Gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Like millions of other Americans, Jennifer Johnson loves a cup or two of coffee in the morning.
I have to have it to wake up in the morning.
But after suffering a miscarriage, she heard that several studies indicated a possible link between caffeine and miscarriages. So when she became pregnant again, she cut out coffee.
You kind of wonder, what did you do, if you did something wrong? And you kind of look back and try and the next time do everything that you can to make your to be healthy.
And 10 months ago, she delivered a healthy baby boy. Yesterday, the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology published a study confirming the link that others had only suspected. It says two or more cups of coffee a day, or five 12-ounce cans of soda with caffeine, doubles the risk of miscarriage. More about that after this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
Reason number 32 to switch to Geico. This sound makes you very, very happy. If you love motorcycles, you need to call Geico. Because now Geico offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Great rates, great coverage, and personal service 24/7. Call anytime, 1-800-44-CYCLE, or visit geico.com.
Scientists at Kaiser Permanente, who did the study of 1,600 pregnant women, believe now that caffeine may decrease blood flow through the placenta and harm the fetus. Obstetrician Dr. Tracy Flanagan.
I'm going to be talking to my patients about seriously limiting the caffeine that they take in during their pregnancy and consider taking it out entirely from what they drink and eat.
On the other hand, another study done at Harvard Medical School suggests that caffeine lowers the risk of ovarian cancer.
We think that caffeine might actually alter hormone levels in women because the same proteins that make especially estrogens and androgens in women are the same hormones or proteins that are actually affecting caffeine metabolism.
Smoking and alcohol have no such effect, but Dr. Shelley Two-Rogers says...
We might have found an interesting association between caffeine and caffeinated beverages and risk of ovarian cancer. And if confirmed, it could be a way that women, especially at high risk of ovarian cancer, might be able to lower their risk.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses, you know we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections.
We're talking with Tom Brewer, the co-author of Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants, a field guide to conservative sex scandals. And in the opening pages of the book under Republicanus Libidinus, they wrote, "For years now, the GOP has tried to corner the market on family values, regularly warning of the dread influence of liberalism in America. Whether it be the dangers of San Francisco values, propelled by this program, or those God-hating Hollywood elites, the political right has done a brilliant job of painting themselves as the voice of traditionalism in America. Yet a little research shows that it's not all post-nuptial missionary position boot-knocking for the far right." That's enough of that. Tom, where do you live, and from there, what do San Francisco values look like to you?
Oh, dreadful. Because I live in the middle of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Which town?
Neenah, Wisconsin.
In Neenah?
Best known for their manhole covers.
Right.
Which I guess, you know, is, you know, familiar term in San Francisco.
Yeah, Neenah.
Yeah, but the, yeah, around here, you know, we have, you know, cheese values, and I'm not sure. Wisconsin's an interesting state in that, like, a lot of the state is very conservative, and then you have Madison and Milwaukee and some other areas that are very progressive and liberal. So,
yeah. Well, what about that sub-zero playoff game the other night?
Oh, you had to bring that up, huh?
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
It was 20-20 into overtime, and then you let the Giants win.
Well, the Giants, I think, deserve to win, but
that
can't do much.
That's a comment unbecoming of a Wisconsiner.
Well, you know, I'd like to, you know, be in denial like everyone else, I suppose, but they played better.
Tom, up next, I'd like to talk about Don Sherwood. This was one of the most bizarre elements of the 2006 electoral campaign. This guy had served in Congress for some time out of Pennsylvania. And we actually played his apology commercial on the radio here, where he said, you know, I had a mistress, but I didn't beat her.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, because I've been afflicted all my life with that stupid, you know, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her.
Yeah.
And Sherwood kind of, you know, had a wife, couldn't keep her, had a mistress, didn't beat her.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, it's the funny thing about most of these is even when they're caught red-handed, they'll find a way to deny at least part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he says, well, okay, I mean, there's not much I get the mistress thing. I'm going to have to concede that. But, it's, you know, but I did not, you know, I didn't do this. I didn't do all the things that she's claiming that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said before, it would be refreshing if somebody just came out and said, you know, once that, like with Larry Craig recently, I mean, you know, he has the wide stance and some of these horrible excuses they come up with.
Yeah, why don't they ever just say, you know, it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I got off better than any time in my life with my wife or anything else. And, you know, once in a while I recommend it to you. Just let that zipper loose.
Well, exactly, and that's, you know, if that was the attitude they took, then this book wouldn't have been possible. I mean, the whole point of it, and we make that distinction between conservative and liberal sex scandals, and they really do seem, I mean, we didn't do any sort of a real quantitative study or anything, but there do seem to be more conservative. I mean, but apart from that, it's really just that there's just more conflict in the hypocrisy is what makes it interesting with the conservatives, because it just and just much more funny. I mean,
well, and back to Larry Craig for a minute. When he did his confessional interview on television, was it Matt Lauer? Yeah, Matt Lauer did.
Yeah.
You know, Matt finally blurted out the question that I thought somebody should have asked him ever since the scandal broke, which is not "Are you gay?" but "Are you bi?" Because he kept repeating, "I am not a I'm not gay. I'm not queer. I'm not a homosexual."
Yeah.
But, you know, clearly he was attracted to sexual behavior with men, and there's more than one way to describe that. It's not simply gay or not gay.
Yeah, but I mean, he seems to be denying all of that too. And I have I have a brother who lives out in Idaho, and his wife said, you know, for years everybody's known that Larry Craig is gay, so I guess, you know, I don't know that. Apparently, it was sort of this open secret. You know, and I guess if you want to know about these things, you ask somebody who's a native. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that we can definitively say that he's gay. I guess that's sort of based on rumor, but I mean, everything that's come out sort of points in that direction.
Well, we can say that his denials don't hold up in the face of fresh information. No. Let's go to Philip in Sacramento. Hello, Philip. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Name a scandal.
Is America's mayor in the book?
Rudy Giuliani?
Well, no, because he's not conservative.
Oh.
Oh, America's mayor. Oh, yeah. No, Rudy Giuliani. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. I was confused there. Yes, he definitely is.
Oh, sweet.
Rudy Giuliani. And he's another interesting one that when we're looking at researching it, it's like I was reading over some of the stuff, some of his background, and it's like, how does this guy think he's going to be elected president? And I guess Bill Clinton lowered the bar on a lot of that stuff, but...
Well, the New York Times today has a front-page story about just how mean and son of a bitch Rudy Giuliani can be.
Oh, really?
People should read it, yeah. I mean, there are these stories of just average citizens who appeared to cross him, and he used every available means to fight back. And
one thing that's in our Rudy Giuliani chapter, and, you know, it's hard to judge people's relationships, and nobody ever really knows what's going on, but one thing that really seemed, I don't know if it's mean-spirited as much as thoughtless, but apparently he announced to the media that he was separating from his second wife without her knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the announcement took her by surprise, and I think that's be considered bad form.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a news conference where the principal has said, "Honey, I won't be home tonight."
Yeah,
because
you don't need to make dinner. How about that?
Yeah. It's Judy's turn to cry. All right, Philip, you scored.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on, we'll grab your address and put one of these in the mail to you.
Got it.
All right. Now, Tom Brewer, I just noticed with some disconcerting—that's not a word yet. I was disconcerted because I was looking for the Giuliani chapter that you just referred to.
Mm-hmm.
And the book that I have that I used to prepare for this in-depth interview goes from page 84, where we're talking about somebody named Bauman.
Okay.
And then it goes to Robert Ray, the Whitewater Stalker, and that's on page 117.
Well, that's a mistake.
Is it a paging mistake, or are pages missing?
It must be something with the printer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the one I have has got him on page 89.
All right, we better get Waxman to investigate this pronto. I'm not sure what's going on. Let's go to Eureka. Jason is calling. Hello, Jason. You're on the PBC show.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Pretty good.
All right. Your guest kind of blurted out my answer to Bob Barr there. But I think I might be able to come up with another one.
I'll bet you can.
It was somewhat recent, but wasn't his name Foley, the guy from New Orleans,
oh,
the congressman
yes,
with the whole hookers and
no, he's
and
just
the
a text.
Post and
no, this
all
is
that stuff.
Foley was the text message to Teen Pages guy.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Right.
I hope they weren't hookers, or they got a bigger problem than they realized.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was that one in there?
Oh yeah, that's real close to the front. That's one of the big ones.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So you win on Foley. Remind us of the Foley case, and where is Mark Foley today? Is he still in rehab?
Oh, well, yeah, that was another one who said, well, it was the alcohol.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he's in rehab, but he's not in Congress anymore. But I think one of the most disturbing things, and we write this in here, is that I don't know if the instant messages or the cover-ups were the biggest problem other than the realization that a fraction of our tax dollars, however small, were being diverted to the subscription department at Tiger Beat.
Say that again, the subscription of Tiger Beat?
Tiger Beat or Boy Fancy, I guess.
You mean the ones that feature teenagers with the hairless chests?
Uh-huh. Oh, I wouldn't know anything about it. I don't know.
I see. Okay.
Sounds like you need the subscription to Boys Life. Boys Life, something like that.
All right.
Tiger Beat's the one
we
called it.
Jason, hold on here. We'll get your address, and we'll mail you a book, okay?
Thank you very much.
And then you'll know about all of the Republican sex scandals. TJ in Sacramento. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. How's that?
Oh, great. Let's see. I was going to go with Foley, but how about Vetter, David Vetter?
It's bitter, but I'm going to give you that one.
Well, bitter, sorry.
That's one that would definitely, that's another one that's on our website, conservativesexscandals.com, because of the lag time in writing to getting published. So
TJ, you want to try another one?
Let's see. Can I go for an evangelical?
Sure.
Oh, sure.
How about Haggard?
Oh,
Haggard, yes.
Love it. You're a winner. You're a winner, TJ. Tell us about Ted Haggard.
And I hate hypocrisy.
Ted Haggard, he ain't gay anymore, right?
Oh, that, yeah. That's one of our favorite little bits about that one is that, you know, everybody remembers when that came out and it was a big splash. But, you know, shortly after the story broke, and I don't think people noticed this part quite as much, is that he came out and said, well, I'm no longer homosexual.
Right.
I got the counseling. And I think it was, you know, a couple months later that he realized that, you know, he's not gay after all.
And Ted Haggard bought some crystal meth from his rent boy, but didn't use it, right?
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorites as well, that he threw it out.
I didn't impale and I didn't inhale.
And it's like like Joe, my co-author, wrote in the book that, you know, buying crystal meth is not like buying Girl Scout cookies when you're on a diet. But he seemed to want people to believe that.
Right. And, TJ, let's see if you can handle the final exam question that they publish here. How long does it take to cure homosexuality? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or 2 minutes, as long as you're still allowed to have sex with 18 to 22-year-old college guys?
It's not curable that I know of, but my mother would sure love it if it was.
Yeah.
Well, I think Pfizer might be working on something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
All right, TJ, thanks for your call today. Hold on, we'll get your address, mail you a book, and you'll just be in stitches when you get it.
All right, I'm sure I will. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, TJ. And, Tom, we're going to take another break, and we've got a couple more books to give away and callers who are willing to receive them. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, cool.
So we will do that as we continue. Live here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're talking about this new book. It's published by Nation Books, The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants, a field guide to conservative sex scandals.
Frank James, Jesse Jim, Billy Kid, and all the rest. He's some bad cats way out in the west. Those cats could have dug me in my gangster ways. They would have hung up their guns, dug it to the graves, because I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. Now look here. When I go into a bar, those from near far say I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. I jump to my father's Cadillac, I float across the border.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Giuliani says he was with rescuers at the debris pile.
I was at Ground Zero as often, if not more than most of the workers. But I was exposed to exactly the same thing they were exposed to. So, in that sense, I'm one of them.
There must be public funding for abortions for poor women. We cannot deny any woman the right to make her own decision about abortion because she lacks resources.
And the reality is, if we just look at Bernard Tarrant Services Police Commissioner, he's an excellent police commissioner.
Yes, Mitt Romney would rather keep people out of college so they can keep working on his lawn.
I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country. I believe that since Roe v. Wade has been the law for 20 years, that we should sustain and support it.
What's your position on abortion?
I'm pro-life.
Well, I found a way to get those folks insured in our state with private insurance, not government insurance. But the Democrats view is, oh no, if there's a problem with something, like, let's have the government take it over.
No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting.
Hillary,
no fighting.
Barack, no fighting, come on.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's Shakira. It's called Hips Don't Lie. And we're talking about this powerful new book. It's a lot of fun, but it's all based in fact. The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants, subtitled A Field Guide to Conservative Sex Scandals. We've been spending this hour with co-author Tom Brewer. And Joe Amon, is he in some sort of rehab right now?
No. He does the bulk of these interviews, so he figured, let me try one.
Oh, I see. Really?
What's that?
Well, I actually got both of you last time on the O'Reilly book, and it was a kick, because you were a good 1-2 punch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
I'll have to make sure that, he knows that.
Okay, good. Let's go to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, there's one hiding in plain sight. Bill O'Reilly.
Exactly, yeah. In fact, it's kind of the genesis of this, because we did the O'Reilly book, and one of the most fun chapters in that was the chapter on his sex scandal, where we gave him phone sex advice, by the way, which he desperately needs, because,
yeah,
you know, he's trying to turn on women by saying he's going to force wine into their veins intravenously, and we figured that probably doesn't work. But, the O'Reilly thing, it has all the elements. It's hypocrisy and just moral sanctimony, coupled with just absurd.
Well, and it was so touching that he had published a children's book just about the time that
that came out. And by the way, in the O'Reilly book, I reviewed his book. And it is possibly the worst piece of literature in the history of publishing.
I think that's unfair to other writers to call it literature.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
All right, Ed, you're a winner.
Okay.
How does it feel?
Great. Can't wait to get the book.
Okay.
I love salaciousness.
Well, this is a perfect bathroom book, too, because, there are lots of chapters, and you can pick it up and put it down without too much loss of thread.
Yes. All right. And according to Peter, it's powerful, which I really...
Yeah, I want you to blurb me out on the next book cover, okay?
Okay.
I'll be there for you. Let's see. Joanne is in McKinleyville. Welcome, Joanne. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Well, so far, people have guessed Foley, Vintner, O'Reilly, and I'll take my chances with Randy Duke Cunningham. Wasn't he involved with poker and prostitutes?
Oh,
yeah.
You have such
a
good memory.
People, I think, most associate him with the bribery scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of a footnote to that was there were accusations, and I think first came out in the San Diego Tribune, that, part of his graft goodie bag was prostitutes. So, and that, you know, to me personally, that might be the most disturbing scandal in the entire catalog because, well, look at him. The thought of Randy Duke Cunningham with prostitutes or any female for that matter.
I totally agree.
In the book, we write that you know he on a good day he looks like a bowl of Quaker oatmeal, and on a bad day he looks like Duke Cunningham.
So. All right, Joanne, a book's on its way to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, hold on here. We'll get your address. Now I am out of books, but we'll take a few more calls here just for grins. You don't win a book. I've made that clear, haven't I? Jake in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B.
Sorry, I'm out of books.
Oh, hey, Peter. Hey, how about George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice?
No, you know, we tried to, and I've heard that rumor, too, but it's really just a rumor, and as far as I know, there's really very little confirmation or verification of it.
Did you ask Laura?
We were very, you know. I mean, I only saw that on one website ever, and we made sure that we were very responsible and only put in things that were real. And actually, we had Larry Craig in our research before we wrote the book, but I just didn't feel like it rose to the level of somebody, and I don't remember, I think it was somebody who runs a blog who specializes in outing.
Yeah, he's based in Washington.
Yeah, he specializes in outing hypocritical gay men, or I guess homosexuals who vote against homosexual interests, had basically said, you know, here's Larry Craig who's voting against all this stuff, and he's railing against homosexuality, and yet, you know, look at his private life, which, you know, I think that's certainly he's a rich target, but we didn't really have anything that was real definitive other than this guy.
Well, it's nice to know that when you're exploiting public officials' private lives, that you do have standards.
Yeah. but once we nail it down, we have no problem with being as immature as possible.
Now, Larry Flint wrote a foreword to your book. Has he shared any of the information that he has been developing about other closeted conservatives in Washington?
No, we did draw a little bit from, in fact, he mentioned in there that you know, some of the big, like Bob Livingston, who was set to be Speaker of the House.
Oh, he was for 20 minutes.
Yeah, for a very short time. Mm-hmm. It was basically Larry Flint who brought him down and has done a lot of public good. And I understand that he's, like, Larry Flint has been involved in pornography before that, too, which...
That's shocking, isn't it?
I'm kidding. Yeah, he's some sort of pornographer. I didn't know that.
Well, you can't hustle, Mr. Hustler. Now, as you look at this with these, you know, massive components of hypocrisy, will this ever go away? Or are we going to be locked in as long as religious voters have value to the Republican Party? Will this hypocrisy be essentially locked in?
I think even since when Bill Clinton first ran, I mean, I think they made much more of the sex scandals, and I don't know if a Rudy Giuliani could have thought about launching a campaign back then just because of all the stuff that was in his past. But I think that's true, that they really try to appeal to, some of these really conservative Christian voters. So I think it's fair, like in the last election where they put all these really mean-spirited anti-gay measures on state ballots to really churn out the voters.
Right.
So I think it's fair game to go after them when stuff like this happens.
All right, well, Tom, great to talk with you again. Thanks for the book, and thanks for chronicling all these scandals.
You're welcome.
It's The Brotherhood of the Disappearing Pants, a field guide to conservative sex scandals, out in paper from Nation Books. Set you back $15 in the U.S. Our thanks to Tom Brewer. You can grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com. Brian Urban is on duty today taking your phone calls. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the controversy over dams and salmon in the Klamath River Basin here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Fed puts the brakes on Wall Street's slide.
The selling could have been a lot worse than we saw.
Actor Heath Ledger found dead at 28.
To have someone so young as this just is almost unspeakably sad.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It wasn't a roller coaster, it was a bungee jump for the stock market today. The plunge that started overseas was arrested by Federal Reserve intervention, and the market jerked back. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
The Fed slashed interest rates 0.75 points. But at the opening bell, the Dow went into a nosedive, in a matter of minutes falling more than 460 points, before slowly climbing back to close with a far less painful 120-point decline.
Did the Fed cut save the day here?
Well, I think it certainly helped. The market would have been devastated had we not had some emergency action, so I think that was very good.
But the losses have taken stocks into bear market territory. The Dow is down 15% and the NASDAQ nearly 20% since recent highs back in October.
The International Monetary Fund welcomes the Fed's action, but says a significant slowdown in the global economy appears inevitable, and the financial markets expect significant future rate declines. President Bush, who's been criticized for doing too little too late, met with congressional leaders today and talked about a stimulus plan big enough and effective enough to give the economy a boost.
I believe we can find common ground to get something done.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also expressed confidence.
Whatever it is that we are considering, it must meet that one criterion. Does it stimulate the economy? Does it put money into the hands of those who will spend it?
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid set a goal of having something on the president's desk in about 3 weeks. Now this.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
We are live at the Conway Living Room for Phil and April's football party.
And what a party it is, Jim.
It's the coaching. You've really got to give Sam's Club credit. From the HDTV to the dip, they made sure the Conways were ready to go.
April's coming in with a veggie tray. Uh-oh, they're blitzing the carrot sticks.
Oh, me, oh, my. Phil burst in with some mini weenies.
Holy little smoky.
Come to Sam's Club where you'll find great values on everything you need for your football party. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Actor Heath Ledger, just 28 years old, was found dead today in a New York City apartment. He was best known for his starring role in Brokeback Mountain.
Bottom line is, we're around each other, and this thing grabs hold of us again in the wrong place.
Leonard Maltin, chief movie critic for Entertainment Tonight, says the Australian-born actor was nothing special at first.
He just seemed like a good-looking young guy. No reason to believe there was much more there. But with each new film, he deliberately took difficult parts and sometimes offbeat and smaller movies to prove himself.
The New York Times says sleeping pills were found near Ledger's body and quotes police sources as saying the signs point to suicide or accidental overdose. Fred Thompson was a late entry in the race for the Republican presidential nomination, and now he's an early dropout. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports the former Tennessee senator had poor showings in the contest so far.
Immediately after his third-place finish in South Carolina, Fred Thompson addressed his supporters. He didn't pull out, but he didn't rally the troops to carry on either. Then he headed home to Tennessee, and just today he released this statement saying he is not going on, and he hopes the country appreciates his effort.
Thompson did not immediately endorse anyone else, but he's considered a likely supporter of John McCain. Former Chicago gang member Jose Padilla, once accused of plotting with Al-Qaeda to detonate a radioactive dirty bomb on U.S. soil, has been sentenced to 17 years in prison by federal judge Marsha Cook in Miami. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen followed this case from the beginning.
As expected, the judge gave Padilla a sentence that is less by far than the suggested minimum, and clearly that's because she was never fully convinced that the government had a strong case that directly linked Padilla to terror conspiracy as opposed to mere terror training.
The judge took into account that Padilla, who was arrested in 2002, was held in isolation without charge for 3.5 years after his arrest. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry in to Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show, originating in San Francisco. A little later this hour, Jason Leopold checks in, as he does every week. He's the investigative editor at truthout.org, and he's been digging into the missing White House email story. It gets more and more fascinating as you pull back the layers. And he'll connect some of the dots for us just a little bit later this hour. But first, we're going to get wild and talk about the Klamath.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Steve Pettery joins us now. He's with the advocacy group called Oregon Wild. That's a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting the wildlife, wildlands, and waters that make Oregon a special place. He's been with them since 2004 and has worked on the Klamath Basin fish and wildlife issues since way back in the last century, back in 1999. Steve, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks for having me.
Are you really a wild, wild guy?
Oh, not as wild as I wish. I spent too much time in the office and not enough in the outdoors.
And what are your pursuits? Are you a whitewater guy, fisherman?
Fly angler, whitewater rafting, a little bit of backpacking. The Klamath Basin is actually one of my favorite places in the world, and you know, certainly one of the prettiest places in Oregon and California.
Mm-hmm. Are you a native of the region?
Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm from South Carolina originally, a place that's got some nice rivers, but hasn't done such a good job of taking care of them.
Hmm. Well, and they've got a primary coming up that's going to be very interesting.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the efforts to reach a deal. And this is a complex negotiation that involves Warren Buffett's company, Pacific Corp. They own the hydroelectric plants, hydroelectric plants that are linked to the dams that have created serious problems for the salmon runs on the Klamath River, and it's been getting worse over the last few years. We also have farmers and Indian tribes, and we reference the fish, but the fishermen also rely on this ecosystem for their livelihoods. And the first reporting indicated that this was a win-win-win package. But then the first kind of red flare was that PacifiCorp was not at the table for these discussions, and there is no agreement to actually remove the dams. And then, as you pointed out in a press release from Oregon Wild, there is a commitment for $1 billion in federal funding, but it doesn't address the key issue that these negotiations were supposed to address, which is removal of the dams.
Exactly. You know, we got involved in the dam debate in the Klamath Basin years ago, and our goal was really to remove the Lower Four Dam to restore the salmon to the Oregon portion of the basin, you know, which is certainly great news for us up here in the and your neighbors to the north, but great news for Native American tribes, commercial fishermen throughout the region. The problem is this deal isn't a dam deal. As folks of the Hoopa Valley tribe have pointed out, this is a water deal. This is about finding the lowest common denominator, putting together a package of sweeteners to bring the Bush administration, agribusiness interests, county governments, other interests in the basin together to support dam removal. You know, essentially $1 billion is what it will cost to buy the support of all of these different special interests for dam removal. Now, the problem with that is PacifiCorp, you know, the biggest special interest of all here and the one who really matters, wasn't involved, doesn't have a reason to support this. And, you know, in reality, when you start creating a $1 billion Christmas tree with all the baggage that comes with it, you're actually really, in our view, endangering the cause of dam removal. You know, if I were PacifiCorp looking at this deal, I would see it as quite a political stinker, and I'd want no part of it.
Well, Steve Pettery, a couple hours ago as I was reading these briefing materials and getting up to speed on this, I just had a brilliant brainstorm. I decided to create my own water management plan, and I'm going to put in for, what do you think, $95 million? So don't you think it would be worth that much?
Yeah, that's one of the, you know, as you start delving into this, where this $1 billion goes. Some of it's really quite amazing. You know, one of the big problems in the Klamath Basin is the dams. The second big problem is water. How much water is being taken out of the river, being taken out of wetlands. Back in 2002, we had a huge fish kill in the Klamath River as a result of too much water being taken out. Now, under this proposed settlement, we would give the Klamath agribusiness interests, the user group that represents irrigators in the Klamath Basin, $94 million of public money to develop their own water management plan for the Klamath and then put them in charge of carrying it out. You know, that's kind of like giving the fox $94 billion to manage the hen house.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want in. I want a deal like that. Now, Steve, also, what is the status of proposals about fish ladders? Because the L.A. Times reports that one estimate is that it would cost about $300 million to put fish ladders in at these four dam sites, and that there isn't even a guarantee that the fish ladders would work, that the fish would know how to use them.
Well, yeah, and this gets back to that problem that you know, the so-called settlement creates, that for PacifiCorp, their corporation here is looking at their bottom line, and they're looking at a cost estimated of about $300 million to put ladders in at these dams. The estimate to remove the dams is actually around half that. But PacifiCorp, I think at the end of the day, their interest is they don't want their ratepayers and they don't want their shareholders getting stuck holding the bag, whether it's the cost of ladders or the cost of dam removal. So what we should really be doing is actually having a negotiation with PacifiCorp about what it would take to get those dams out, not wasting our time spinning our wheels with the Bush administration trying to come up with a sweetheart deal for every special interest in the Klamath Basin.
Mm-hmm. And what is your preferred position? You want to see the dams removed. That is the most economical approach, half the cost, you say, of putting in fish ladders?
Yes, and, you know, this has been our goal from the beginning when we got involved in this debate over these dams, is to see the lower four dams removed. They're really ancient pieces of engineering. They don't produce much electricity. They do a lot of environmental harm. And it, you know, even economics left out of it, it makes sense to take those dams out. And when you factor in the cost of modernizing them, it certainly starts to add up in the environment's favor, and they should go. But you can't view dam removal as a silver bullet for the problems of the Klamath Basin, and that's really where the settlement goes wrong. It sort of takes the view that if we can just get the dams out, everything else will fall in line. Well, that's not entirely true. We've got to keep flows in the river up at a level that will sustain the salmon run. So there's actually some fish left to take advantage of the dam removal if it finally happens.
Mm-hmm.
And a related problem in the Klamath Basin is pollution, water pollution, a lot of it coming from farm waste and agricultural runoff. Up in the upper Klamath Basin, we've seen thousands of acres of wetlands drained and converted to commercial agriculture. The easiest way to start to address these water quality problems is to restore wetlands. And unfortunately, this deal would actually penalize the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for restoring more wetlands and would lock in for another 50 years a practice of managing one of the national wildlife refuges up in the upper Klamath Basin almost exclusively for commercial agriculture. It's a little ironic, but in the Klamath Basin, we have a national wildlife refuge that's managed for onions and potatoes, not eagles and geese.
Very interesting. Steve Pettery is with us, Conservation Director for Oregon Wild. If you have a question or comment about the Klamath Basin, about the efforts to remove the dams and come up with a compromise deal that works for all parties, give us a call. He's with us till the bottom of the hour. Lines open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372, and we'll be happy to talk to you about this issue. Now, Steve, how many homes are currently supplied power by the hydro facilities linked to these four dams?
It's actually a fairly small number of homes. These are not major facilities by any stretch of the imagination. The first one was actually built back in 1917. So I think the question of the amount of power they produce is fairly fairly small, and I think there's probably room to have a discussion with PacifiCorp about replacement power, about maybe looking at locations where wind or solar or other energy alternatives would make sense. And, you know, if we're going to spend federal money restoring the Klamath Basin, I'd much rather spend it encouraging renewable energy development to offset the removal of those dams than spending it on new subsidies for irrigation in the high desert.
Now, PacifiCorp is owned by Warren Buffett's investment firm based out in Omaha, and that's Berkshire Hathaway. And he, you know, is trying to burnish his image. He's getting late in life. He made a big contribution, a large part of his fortune, to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to try to, relieve health problems around the world. Has Warren Buffett been at all responsive to these issues, or is he kind of ducking and just making you talk to the suits at PacifiCorp?
Well, you know, my experience has been that, Warren Buffett acquired this company and maybe wasn't banking on the headache that he was buying when he purchased it, in the form of these dams and the debate over what's going to be done with them. My experience, we've been dealing directly with the PacifiCorp folks in Oregon, California, and not so much with Warren Buffett's folks out in the Midwest. Again, I feel that what we're really talking about here is making a deal that lets PacifiCorp get out of this project without a huge price tag that their shareholders and ratepayers have to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I'm perfectly happy to see us make an investment in restoring the Klamath River. The problem is we just haven't been having that conversation. No one's been talking to PacifiCorp. We've been spending all of our time debating the Bush administration.
And at this point, do you believe, based on the media coverage, that people are going to try to ram this deal through, even though it doesn't address the underlying issues that the process was supposed to address?
Well, unfortunately, I think so. I think there's some folks in the basin who've been convinced that dam removal is a silver bullet, and it's a silver bullet that comes with an awful lot of money attached if this deal were to go forward. And I think at this point, for some folks, salmon restoration has actually taken a backseat to economic development. And when you look at the interest of the upper basin and the agribusiness folks in the Klamath Irrigation Project, this is, you know, a win-win-win for them for sure. They get guaranteed water levels and don't have to worry about endangered species protection anymore. They get continued agricultural development on the National Wildlife Refuges. They get new subsidies. They get $94 million to develop their own water plan. You know, it's hard to turn that kind of deal down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain they're probably knocking on the doors of Congress right now, asking for help in making this happen.
And your Congressman DeFazio, is he supportive or is he aware of the issues you've raised?
It's been very interesting up here. The only members of Congress that I'm aware of from Oregon who've actually said anything about the deal are two Republicans, Senator Gordon Smith, who's up for re-election this year, and mm-hmm. Congressman Greg Walden. And what's ironic is that both of those, both the representative and the senator, have been very outspoken advocates for the agribusiness interests in the Upper Basin and against salmon recovery in the past. In fact, back in 2001, Senator Smith tried to pass a piece of legislation that would essentially overturn salmon recovery efforts in the Klamath Basin.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. We'll return with Steve Pettery. He is the conservation director for Oregon Wild. Their website, oregonwild.org. Coos Bay, Eureka, points in between. You got a question or comment, give us a call. Lines are open toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of galushian. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Good Good morning. I'm Erica Martin. Let's take a look at KRXA traffic. Problems in Capitola now, northbound Highway 1, just before 41st Avenue. It's a stall. It currently sits in the left-hand lane. Earlier problems in Monterey still being taken care of. Southbound Highway 1 at Highway 68. Looks like a wide load tractor has just been cleared to the right-hand shoulder. And keep in mind, word from the CHP now is that Mount Hamilton is shut down until Thursday, and that's thanks to snow. KTRB traffic is brought to us by Vic's DayQuil. Cold or no cold, the day must go on. So for the help you need to power through your day, get the non-drowsy, multi-symptom relief of Vic's DayQuil. Use as directed. Let's check that forecast again. Rain continues this morning into this afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s today. Current temperatures around the Monterey Bay, still 43 degrees in Salinas under light rainy skies. 45 for Santa Cruz. It's 46 right now in Monterey. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show with Hal Ginsberg.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 24 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, I'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. Pat Morrow will be sitting in for me. Hope you'll be nice to him. Then Thursday and Friday, we'll originate live from Washington's Mayflower Hotel, the site of the Families USA Healthcare Conference. Can you say S-CHIP? And we've got a lot of great guests lined up who will be talking with us in Washington, so I hope you'll be tuned in Thursday and Friday for our live broadcast from the nation's capital. We continue with Steve Pettery. He's with Oregon Wild. We're talking about this proposed settlement of the controversies about the Klamath River Basin, the dams that prevent the salmon from spawning properly, and the efforts to remove the dams, which are not part of the proposed settlement so far. Greg in Sacramento joins us, and the Klamath, near and dear to your heart, it says on the screen here, Greg.
Well, the whole state is near and dear to my heart because I'm from that area.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm from Eugene.
Oh, great.
And your guest, I'm assuming he's there in the state right now?
I think so. Where are you, Steve?
I'm up in Portland, unfortunately. I'd rather be down in the Klamath today, but...
Well, you know, and you also mentioned Peter DeFazio. A little secret that I don't tell many people is that I worked on his campaign back in 1988 to get him in office.
Oh, okay.
But the thing that I wanted to bring up, being that I haven't been up there in a long, long time, I'm just kind of curious as what the recent thing has been as far as clear-cutting next to a waterway or a stream and the erosion issue, and I'm just kind of curious as to what has been the latest in that arena.
Well, forest policy is another issue we work on pretty heavily in Oregon. And, you know, in the Klamath Basin, this has been something of an issue. It's a bigger issue in western Oregon, but I guess it goes back to making a deal with the devil in the Bush administration here. We've seen a real effort to erode protections for old-growth forests and make it easier to log steep slopes and log near rivers. Some of that is certainly spilling over to Klamath Basin, but it's definitely a huge issue in western Oregon today with the Bush administration's drive to remove a lot of lands from the Northwest Forest Plan.
So in other words, it's still an ongoing issue, or has it been somewhat resolved that there's that buffer to... you know, not to clear cut next to a stream?
I would say it was resolved, and the Bush administration is trying to unresolve it. They've got a proposal right now on some lands in western Oregon to drop the buffer from 300 feet to as low as 25 feet.
Well, I hope, Peter, when you have a chance, if you get up there, go take a drive on 126
mm-hmm.
out of Eugene Springfield. I'll tell you will, your eyes will just bug out. It's just absolutely beautiful territory if they haven't cut it down.
All right. Well, I'm actually, I haven't made the firm plan, but I'm hoping to spend a week in Oregon this summer. I have a Jones for the Pinot Noirs from the Willamette Valley. That's where it starts. Greg, thank you for your call today.
Sure.
Steve, if Pacific Corps did agree to remove these dams, do you have a projection on how long it would take and what would be required to supplement the power that would be lost?
Well, you know, the power question is kind of a good one, and one people are still trying to wrap their head around. I mean, some of that comes down to PacifiCorps and what they feel they need in a deal to get the dams out. And, you know, honestly, no one has been negotiating with them.
You know, we sent them off in a room to talk amongst themselves while we tried to negotiate with the Bush administration. In terms of a timeline, I think very optimistic would be something on the order of 15 years.
Oh, really?
You know, looking at similar dam removals around the Northwest, up in Washington State, there's a removal happening right now where after the utility, in this case it's also Pacific Oil, agreed to remove a dam, they were attacked from many different sides by dam advocates who didn't want to see the dams go, and they ended up getting sued by a local county that has kind of wrapped everything up and slowed it down. So, you know, even when you make a deal to remove a dam, it sometimes doesn't move very quickly because there are people who are unhappy about it.
Steve, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for your work, and press on, will you?
All right. Thanks for having me.
The website is OregonWild.org. Jason Leopold joins us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced by Katrina Rill, Brian Urban is taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Easy come, easier go. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Oh, there's all sorts of stock advice out there today, but the bottom line is, when Wall Street gets the sniffles, it's like a sad, sad country song.
It is not time to panic.
Look at that. We've now crossed 400 points to the downside.
What people used to say is, when America sneezes, the world catches a cold.
Not long ago, I saw the Dow Jones and said, I gotta buy me some of that. 'Cause people with brains, no capital gains, is the place where the smart money's at. But then came the news of the bear market blues. I knew I'd run out of luck. Goodbye, sweet dreams. Goodbye, limousines. I'd be lucky to gas up my truck. Yeah, I got stocks, you know. And with each new drop, the Dow increases by gateway. Goodbye, 401k.
Markets go down, but over time they tend to go up.
Oh, I can't bear to see my kids' faces when I tell them we'll have to hock their braces, 'cause I got stocks in low places.
It's not where you open, it's where you close.
Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross. On the web at Dave.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I don't remember. I can't recall.
Hey, remember Alberto Gonzalez? One of the greatest attorneys general in American history.
Just a guy with a weak memory.
Jason Leopold returns to our program today. He's the managing editor for investigations or something very close to that at truthout.org, and he joins us almost every Tuesday. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. My memory's better than Al Gonzalez.
You got some of it right.
And how are you?
Senior editor.
Yeah?
Senior editor at Truthout.
Senior editor for investigations or just senior editor?
Plain old senior editor.
Okay. And he's also the author of News Junkie.
That's right, yeah.
Which is now out in Farsi, right?
I'm sorry?
It's been published in Farsi?
That would be great. In Japanese.
Yeah. And how are your sales over there in Japan?
You know, it's funny. It's actually selling more in Japan than it is here.
So oh, really?
I figure.
Huh.
You know, I've always wanted to be big in Japan.
I was just thinking
of saying goes. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking if there's a song like that.
Big in Japan.
Well, I have one called Big in America by
yeah.
the Stranglers.
A band actually, Big in Japan from the 80s, one of those new wave bands.
Oh, one hit wonder, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jason, I wanted to set you up here. We had our official Alberto Gonzalez theme music.
Yes.
And you have been digging ever deeper into the White House scandal of the disappearing emails.
Yeah, yeah.
And I invested $1.95 in the used CD bin and got this jazzy music. This one is called Memory Erased by a Storm, which I thought would be the perfect setup. Can I do an inspired reading of the first few lines of your
Please.
Article? At 8 p.m. on September 29, 2003, former White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez received a phone call from the Department of Justice. Gonzalez received formal notification that evening that the DOJ had launched a criminal investigation into the leak of covert CIA operative Valerie Plame Wilson. Curiously, the Justice Department, which at that time was headed by John Ashcroft, officially launched the investigation on September 26, 2003, but Ashcroft waited more than 3 days before notifying Gonzalez and the White House, whose high-level staffers were reported to be responsible for disseminating Wilson's affiliation with the spy agency to the media just 2.5 months earlier. Gonzalez asked the DOJ if he could wait until morning before notifying White House staffers about the probe, thereby delaying the issuance of a directive to preserve emails and other documents related to the leak of Wilson's undercover status federal investigators would need as part of their investigation. Now, Jason, you and I have covered this turf
yeah.
before.
We have. And, you know, this is one of those instances, one of those times where, you know, you have to dig back, go back into the memory hole, dig out the information and just remind people. I mean, you know, as I said in the story, this story has been told numerous times, you know, over the past 4.5 years. But, you know, each time it's repeated, it's usually as a result of some new information or evidence has come
mm-hmm.
out. And this is one of those, you know, moments where, you know, we need to remind people. You know, I was actually struggling with, you know, I feel like I'm repeating myself here, that mm-hmm. I'm, you know, writing the same story. In a sense, I am. but it has an entirely, you know, new meaning.
And
particularly when, you know, your weekly guest, Melanie Sloan,
mm-hmm.
you know, discloses that there are millions of emails missing and that they, you know, coincide with a specific, you know, date
mm-hmm.
In which the White House was coming under scrutiny.
Now, so, before you tell us a little bit more about the emails related specifically to some of the dates that we're describing here,
right.
talk a little bit about your sources and methods. Do you have a big whiteboard there where you
yeah.
you know kind of put up dates and events, or do you use a computer to generate
you know,
a timeline?
I have a desk. I'm not the most organized person, so when it comes to that, but I do have a desk full of you know paper. And I somehow have my own method of, okay, the October emails go on this pile, the, you know, the December ones go here. So, you know, at the end of the day, I do sort of like, you know, put them up on the wall just to see, you know, the time frame, almost like
mm-hmm.
on a calendar in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, this is it's almost like a mathematical equation because, you know, there are so many, you know, the dates are not just related to the Plame investigation, the Valerie Plame leak. You know, it coincides as well with, you know, Cheney's Energy Task Force. But I wanted to actually step outside the entire realm of, you know, the emails dealing with the vice president's office, and actually focus specifically on Karl Rove. And you and I, you know, we discussed this last week, that the common thread in all of these scandals is Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, you know, Karl Rove is right smack in the middle of it. And here, in this particular story, I wanted to focus specifically on Karl Rove because there was an email, you know, again, that he had sent just two and a half months prior to the Justice Department alerting, you know, Gonzalez that there was going to be a criminal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that email, you know, that 12-hour delay, and I think that this administration has demonstrated that it lacks credibility when it comes to, you know, telling the real story, that the email in that 12 hours, it's possible that these guys were erasing backup tapes.
And do we know, Jason, would the White House logs indicate, for example, if Karl Rove pulled an all-nighter that night and was there busy deleting files and, you know, trying to erase hard drives
sure.
and that
yeah.
sort of
you
thing?
Yeah, you know, I have to say that I would imagine that in a, I don't even know what a normal administration would look like these days, but sure that it would show that he's there. But you know, good luck in certainly I haven't had any luck trying to you know being successful in obtaining any of his calendars or logs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, there was an email that Karl Rove sent to Stephen Hadley, who was the Deputy National Security Advisor at the time. That was actually in July 2003. Now, when they asked for you know, evidence of any administration official speaking to about Valerie Plame, this email didn't turn up. And now you put that in the context of this 12-hour, you know, delay in which Gonzalez also, by the way, alerted Andrew Card, who was chief of staff at the time, that there was an investigation before he told anyone else. You know, it certainly would not be far-fetched to, you know, assume at this point that there was some funny business going on.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, and in particular, again, one of the things that you report in this article, which I recommend to people, you can find it at truthout.org, is that there are some days where all of the emails from that day are simply missing.
Right, and that's what's, you know, and again, that is truly astounding that on a day where the volume, just to show you how, you know, large the administration is that the volume of emails on any given day could be between 60 and 80,000. And on some days, certainly days that came right literally like one day after the investigation was announced publicly, there are no emails, nothing. There is absolutely no record of electronic communication in the office of the vice president or the president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is, first of all, the historical record, the having any record of, you know, what this administration was doing and when it was doing it is lost. And, you know, it is very similar to what took place during the Clinton administration. They eventually, you know, during Clinton's time in office, you know, these they came under fire for the same thing. They eventually had to spend almost $12 million. And they did recover, I believe it was $12 million, either 7 or $12 million, but it was, you know, several million dollars to recover lost emails.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you start to really, when you piece everything together here, and you take the issue of the emails, and then you talk about the U.S. attorney firings, and you talk about the CIA, you know, destruction of those tapes,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is no record. Does this administration deserve the benefit of the doubt? You know, I think it's difficult for me as a reporter, you know, to certainly I'm not, you know, saying that they're guilty without the evidence, but, you know, talk about, you know, coincidence. I think Melanie Sloan, you know, said it best. She doesn't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
I also think that the revelations that came out last week absolutely calls into question, you know, this investigation by Patrick Fitzgerald. And as a result, he owes it. Congress certainly should pressure him, you know, to cough up some answers here.
Yeah. Well, and as you report today and you have in the past, the Fitzgerald investigation that led only to the prosecution and conviction of Scooter Libby.
Right.
You know, stumbled upon these issues very early on. And it was Fitzgerald asking, if we trouble people's memories here a little bit, most people remember now the episode where John Ashcroft was in the hospital, seriously ill. James Comey was the acting attorney general. And it was during that window of time when Fitzgerald smelled missing emails here and suspected destruction of evidence or suppression of evidence.
Right.
And he went to the acting attorney general and asked for explicit authorization to pursue investigations and possible charges about the evidence itself. And this was triggered by missing emails from the White House, and in particular, in the time frame that we opened up discussing.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a story, by the way, that I first broke back in, I guess it was 2006, with regard to when it first was revealed that there were, you know, emails missing from the office of the vice president and the president. And then later on, 250 pages of emails reappeared. I think that, you know, what I would like to hear is somebody like Melanie Sloan, who is also pursuing this, you know, actually question the integrity of the investigation and, you know, go a bit further as to what happened here. Because, like I said, when you start to piece together, certainly with the U.S. attorney firings, I mean, talk about emails. We have yet to see any, you know, any emails turned over from the Republican National, you know, Committee, which Rove happened to be using, you know, his emails there as well. I mean, I think, and we don't have any trace of that because those were erased, as well as the ones from the White House.
But Jason, there is this silver lining, and it just occurred to me right now. That if all of my emails have been intercepted by the switch at AT&T in San Francisco and collected by the NSA, wouldn't we have to presume that Karl Rove's emails are over at the NSA,
too? Right, exactly. I mean, you know, I think that certainly I think that there has to be some sort of record of it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I will... You know, once again, I quote David Iglesias, who I think said it best, somewhere there is a smoking gun with Karl Rove's name on it. And I think that it's out there. It's very troubling in light of new evidence that emerges that we, you know, see publications like Newsweek, and various cable outlets giving Karl Rove a platform, you know, to continue to disseminate his BS and propaganda, when, you know, for lack of a conviction, he appears to be, you know, a criminal, and I find that to be, you know, just troubling, especially with regard to the leak of Valerie Plame Wilson.
Yeah, we got to take a break. We'll return with Jason Leopold in just a moment. You got a question or comment, bring it on, or hey, go ahead and email us. Toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. My email, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. More in a moment, right here on the PBC Show.
How's traffic looking here on KRXA? Well, things looking pretty good right now in the Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz area. I want to mention the fact that in the Santa Cruz Mountains, no snow being reported and no problems at this point. Although, we do have a severe weather warning in the South Bay Hills. Snow reported on Skyline and Highway 9, although everything's open there. It appears Mount Hamilton, that's Highway State Route 130, closed till Thursday because of snow. And in Aromas, eastbound 129 after Rogie Lane, it's a bobtail truck and a car blocking the eastbound lanes. One vehicle actually leaked about 10 gallons of fuel onto the roadway. CHP and fire department on scene. And looks like eastbound 25 between Gilroy and Hollis are looking pretty good at this point. This report brought to you by the NFL. This year, the Super Bowl will rock. Don't miss Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers performing live. It's the Bridgestone Super Bowl 42 halftime show. That's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee Topia.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up after the top of the hour, Melanie Sloan checks in from Crew, Citizens of Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll get more on the White House email situation. But truthout.org reports just this moment that Fred Thompson has withdrawn from the Republican presidential race. Aww.
It is dead. That's what I say. Let the man rap a plan, said he'd send him home. But his hope wasn't wrong, and he should have known.
That's Curtis Mayfield telling it like it is. Sorry, Fred. I guess that trophy wife vote just didn't come through well enough for you. We continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And, Jason, I wanted to just raise a couple of points here, and I want to be very clear that this information is just coming in. And it has to do with the FBI whistleblower Sybil Edmonds.
Right.
And we've been covering her for several years now. I think I first interviewed her back in 2003. And because the American media will not publish the or broadcast the information that she has, she has done an end around on the federal gag order on her. And some of the information is showing up in the Times of London, ironically, a Rupert Murdoch paper.
Yeah.
And in it are some pretty powerful allegations, one being that the number three person at the State Department, Mark Grossman, that's under Colin Powell, actually tipped off some Turkish spies that Brewster Jennings, the front company that Valerie Plame Wilson was assigned to, that's her cover at the CIA, was a CIA front.
Well, and that would certainly be, you know, if there is evidence of that, that would certainly add a new wrinkle to this story. I mean, just as a matter of background here, Mark Grossman and Joseph Wilson were college roommates over at UC Santa Barbara, and they go back quite a while, quite a ways. You know, Mark Grossman was a holdover from the Clinton administration. Mark Grossman and Joe Wilson did work on behalf for the State Department for Turkey. There is a lot of interconnected details in terms of the work that Joe Wilson was doing and Valerie, his wife, was doing.
And Joe and Valerie met at a reception at the Turkish embassy.
Right. Which, you know, depending on who you talk to, Mark Grossman was there. And, and so they go back quite a ways.
And Jason, one of the questions that surfaced as I reviewed this new material from Sybil Edmonds is, gosh, I wonder if Joe Wilson was a spy. And I'd never thought of that before.
Right.
You know, it never occurred to me. But many people who were placed by the State Department in diplomatic posts were dual, that they had the cover and they had a dual assignment from the CIA.
Yeah.
And I have never heard anybody ask Joe Wilson that question, and I'm dying to do it.
Yeah. And I think that, I think it's a valid question at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I think that this story, at least what we have found out from, you know, Crew's dogged pursuit of the White House emails, is that the story is far from over.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly troubling that there is no accountability. I'm not sure what we can expect from a hearing that Henry Waxman is going to have next month, in which he's called various people to testify. Again, I'm not sure what we can expect from any other hearing other than, great, you know, more information, but what happens as a result?
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like Crew is, you know, an outside watchdog group, but, you know, has filed a lawsuit, but we don't have our own congressional leaders actually holding anyone accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So
Jason, Ken in Sacramento joins us. He wants to take us in a slightly different direction. Hi, Ken.
Sure. Hi, I don't mean to have the tinfoil hat moment on the show here, but has there been any investigation to the emails that happened directly after 9/11? Is there anything going on with that? You know, I have nothing to back up any type of hypothesis, but
Ken,
I wonder.
Ken, you don't have to have a tinfoil hat to ask questions about 9/11 here, okay?
Good man, thank you.
Yeah. And Ken, just to let you know, those emails are also missing, you know? So there are emails, actually. You know, it depends on, there's so many different stories here. On one hand, we're hearing that between 2001 and 2003, emails, in October of 2003, emails are missing. These are these backup tapes, and I am so far from a tech person, these backup tapes were recycled. So there's no trace of emails, and those coincide with, you know, the
not only the beginning of the occupation of Iraq, but the plans before Iraq, the
if you don't mind me interrupting you here, I do have a little bit of the technical background. Has there been any discussion of actually talking to the techs that would have been involved with doing this type of work? Because if this is old magnetic tape, you're talking mainframe work, and there are techs that have to be out there that are specialized in that work.
I believe that the Oversight Committee, Henry Waxman's committee, has attempted to speak to these people, mm-hmm. but has been thwarted by the White House.
Well, and what I would toss in here, gentlemen, is that every email has at least one sender and one recipient.
Right.
And, you know, you can erase it from where you sent or received, but the corresponding email probably still exists.
It certainly does. It just, it's going to take time to find it, but you're talking off-site. You're talking old magnetic tape. And I tell you what, all sorts of quote-unquote problems can happen with magnetic tape.
All right, Ken, I'm out of time. Thank you for your expertise. Jason, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you next week.
Stay on it, will you, dude? I think you will. All right, we take a break and return. Melanie Sloan from Crew will join us to kick off the Free Speech Zone. And your calls and comments are welcome next hour at 888-5-PETER-B. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. It gives you a link to the live stream every weekday and also our archives and podcasts. It's all available at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a sigh of relief heard round the world. After decisive action by the Federal Reserve stabilized the U.S. stock market, the Asian markets are sharply higher. Major indexes in Japan and South Korea are up more than 3%. This morning, the Fed slashed interest rates by 0.75% ahead of its regular meeting next week.
The Fed was afraid that the panic was going to spread into the U.S. market.
David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Without mentioning the slide on financial markets at home and abroad, President Bush felt the need to offer some fresh words of reassurance about the economy.
We have confidence in the long-term strength of America, and so should the American people. This is a flexible, this is a resilient, this is a dynamic economy.
After his meeting with congressional leaders, Mr. Bush said he expects an agreement on an economic stimulus plan in relatively short order.
The Dow ended the day with a 128-point loss at 11,971, the Nasdaq down 47 points to 2,292. A promising young actor is dead. Heath Ledger, who played a cowboy struggling with a gay relationship in Brokeback Mountain, was found dead this afternoon in a New York City apartment. Police say there were sleeping pills nearby. Born in Australia, Ledger got into acting when he had to choose between a cooking class or drama in junior high. When he first got noticed in 1999, it was for his good looks, but Entertainment Tonight film critic Leonard Maltin says Ledger really worked at his craft.
At every turn, instead of choosing the easy way or sort of the movie star way, he chose the more unusual, the more difficult, and the more challenging part in the more challenging film.
Ledger was cast as the Joker in the latest Batman movie to be released this summer. He was 28. Fred Thompson, who fared poorly in the early Republican contest, pulled the plug on his presidential campaign today. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambender isn't at all surprised.
He got in too late. It's obvious in retrospect that by the time he got in, several candidates already occupied the space that he wanted to fill.
Thompson withdrew with a brief written statement saying he hopes the country and the party have benefited from his effort. Medicine has made great progress treating heart attack and stroke. Dr. Daniel Jones, president of the American Heart Association, says death rates have declined by one-fourth since the late 1990s.
At every turn,
we have to keep this in perspective that heart disease is still the leading cause of death in this country, and stroke is the number three cause of death. And so part of the reason we've seen great progress is because it's such an important problem. We focused on this, but we shouldn't be complacent that the problem is solved.
Jones says the gains might not last unless Americans reduce risk factors like obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and lack of exercise. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
New research offers another reason for the obese to lose weight. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
A simple medical truth.
If people put on weight, their likelihood of developing diabetes skyrockets.
So what happens if obese people with type 2 diabetes lose a lot of weight? In a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, three-quarters of patients who received gastrointestinal surgery achieved diabetes remission within 2 years, five times the remission rate of people using conventional methods. Australian researcher John Dixon.
It's by far the most effective therapy, and yet it hasn't been used as a treatment for type 2 diabetes.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Talk about throwing money around. After masked gunmen robbed a bank in Costa Mesa, California today, they fled in a getaway car, switched to another vehicle, and led police on a high-speed chase from Orange County into Los Angeles County. Someone threw wads of cash out the window as the car raced along. The chase ended when the car crashed into a palm tree. One suspect was caught. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Oil Change Sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
We are live at the Conway Living Room for Phil and April's football party.
And what a party it is, Jim.
It's the coaching. You've really got to give Sam's Club credit, from the HDTV to the dip. They made sure the Conways were ready to go.
April's coming in with a veggie tray. Uh-oh, they're blitzing the carrot sticks.
Oh, me, oh, my. Phil Burson with some mini weenies.
Holy little smoky.
Come to Sam's Club where you'll find great values on everything you need for your football party. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid a 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Your mission, Ms. Sloan, should you decide to accept it, is to examine up to 10 million emails. Good luck. Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, coming your way from San Francisco. We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome. You can grab a line now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And is it an impossible mission? Well, I don't think Melanie Sloan accepts that term impossible. Welcome back to our program, Melanie.
Pleasure to be here.
Nice to talk with you again. And we spent the preceding half hour talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org about the missing White House emails. And some astounding things surface here. First of all, the volume, some 60 to 100,000 messages bouncing in and out on a daily basis. And then what's breathtaking, as Crew has reported, is that there are some days where the historical record, the retention system, only shows about 5 emails.
Yeah. Hard to believe, huh?
It is hard to believe.
What day do you only have 5 emails, much less the entire executive office of the president?
Zero.
Yeah.
So what's the current status in terms of the stonewalling from the White House and the various legal efforts that you've made to secure the emails, to assure us that they still exist, and we have uncovered some real weaknesses in the record-keeping system there at the White House?
Okay, this may be my favorite thing that's happened, because the White House has a spokesperson, Tony Fredo, who, despite the fact that the missing email story has been in the news for quite some time now, and Dana Perino was on CNN back in April saying, yeah, there are missing email, and Patrick Fitzgerald wrote a letter to Scooter Libby's lawyer saying, yeah, I don't have everything because there were missing email, and the White House has said there are missing email. So suddenly last week, the White House spokesman, Tony Fredo, says, what missing email? They're missing email? What are you talking about? Who said missing email? We never said missing email, which was, you know, hard to believe. And luckily, in this day and age of, you know, the Internet, we can still watch. You can come to our website, and you can still watch Dana Perino saying that they're missing email. And apparently that was a little too much for Henry Waxman, too. And Henry Waxman is the chairman of the Government Oversight Committee, and we can be thankful that he is there in that position. And so on so he sent a letter also at the end of last week, the 17th, January 17th, to Fred Fielding, who's the counsel to the White House counsel, saying, huh, Tony Fredo said this, there's no missing email. Well, let me go through all the missing email that you and I discussed at these different meetings that you told my staff about. And there are, in fact, 473 days for which various entities in the Executive Office of the President had no archived email. And then he goes through the missing email in the White House office, the Office of the Vice President, the Council on Environmental Quality, and the Council of Economic Advisors, OMB, and the U.S. Trade Representative. So despite Tony Fredo saying no missing email, in fact, the White House has told Henry Waxman lots of missing email.
Well, and circumstantially, the dates where emails are missing line up with some critical events. For example, what Jason and I were talking about was the warning that Alberto Gonzalez got as White House counsel from John Ashcroft over at the Justice Department that they were going to officially launch an investigation into the leaking of Valerie Plame Wilson's CIA identity. And just so our listeners are clear, Melanie Sloan and Crew are representing Joe and Valerie Wilson in their civil suit as they pursue remedies for the damage that was done. And so, for example, Jason opens his article by describing the date on which Gonzalez received that notice, which was September 29th of 2003. And Justice waited 3 days to notify the White House, and then Gonzalez was given an extra 12 hours before he had to formally send out an email to 1,000 staffers saying, don't destroy any records. That 12-hour period is one that, it gives me great pause, Melanie.
Right. We've known about that for a long time, and that always gave us great pause, that the White House could, the White House counsel could, and that's who Alberto Gonzalez was at the time, the White House counsel could basically give people this 12-hour period in order to destroy their email. But Crew went through an analysis of all the days Henry Waxman said there were missing emails, and your listeners can go to our website and see basically every day that's listed and, you know, what was going on in the national news that day and see why there might well be missing email. In addition to email that cover the Valerie Plame Wilson situation, there are also missing email from the Enron situation. And there were there's a time that Karl Rove was being asked to uncover email that he might have had related to Enron. His former secretary, Susan Ralston, who also had some fame during the Jack Abramoff scandal, testified in a deposition that she was helping to look for those email, and those are among the missing email now as well.
Mm-hmm. And so the current status of your lawsuit, last time I think we talked about this, the White House had been ordered to preserve whatever records are there. Has there been any further response from the Bush administration?
Yes. Last week, the White House filed, they were ordered to file a response and explain what, to answer several questions about what had happened to the backup tapes. And Teresa Payton, who is the chief information officer in the Office of Administration, which is the White House tech office, filed a declaration that really leaves a lot more questions than it answers. And everyone can go to the website and read Teresa Payton's declaration and see how she explains what's happened to the email. And we have gone back and said to the magistrate judge who's considering this matter, John Fasciola, and said, you really need to have a hearing, because our technical people are also telling us that the things that Ms. Payton is saying just really don't make sense. And there are a lot of unanswered questions here. Because, for example, they'll use the tape, they very deliberately use the phrase backup tapes when there might well be other medium on which matters have been preserved.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very unclear still whether they, in fact, have other backup data or if things are missing forever. The one interesting thing that we learned last week is that in spite of the fact that this is not a best practice, the White House said it was a best practice to recycle tapes. So even when there were were backup tapes, they were copying them over. And it seems like this is deliberate. First, this was not, in fact, the best practices in 2003. And secondly, even if this was the best practice for IBM, it's hardly the best practice for the White House, which is bound by the Presidential Records Act and the Federal Records Act, both of which require them to preserve all records, unlike IBM.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website has a lot of information about the missing White House emails, and you can log on to citizensforethics.org, citizensforethics.org, and read more about it for yourself. And, Melanie, anything else you want to mention about this particular controversy?
Well, everybody should stay tuned. Today, the White House is supposed to be filing an additional filing, and we have another case against the Executive Office of the Office of Administration, where they have argued that the Office of Administration is not subject to the Freedom of Information Act, even though they have been subject to it for 20 years. Suddenly, they're not, and we've asked that judge to suddenly take notice of all of this and hold a status conference as well. The White House is supposed to file something there, and hopefully we will be having a hearing there in the near future. So I think there's a lot more to be said on this, and we, in the coming weeks, your listeners will hear a lot more about it.
Okay, great. Melanie, I wanted to turn to another issue that CREW is working on, and that is Ralph Reed, a former evangelical leader and a political operator in Republican circles. He popped up on CNN, and you filed a complaint about that. Tell us.
We did. I don't know if everybody will remember this, but not only is Ralph Reed the former head of the Christian Coalition, but he was very prominent in the Jack Abramoff scandal. Ralph Reed used his ties to Christians around the country to foment anti-gambling activity, but all on behalf of Jack Abramoff's gaming casinos. And then this all came out during the Senate Indian Affairs Committee hearings, which were held in large part by John McCain. And Ralph Reed has blamed John McCain for his loss in the lieutenant governor's race in Georgia,
right,
because so many emails were released showing that Ralph Reed was lying. Ralph Reed was saying at the time, oh, well, Jack Abramoff lied to everybody, and he lied to me, and I didn't know that he was, you know, using me to help the gaming industry, because I would, of course, never accept gaming money. And then McCain released all the emails showing that, you know, that Jack Abramoff and Ralph Reed were in cahoots and the whole thing, and Ralph Reed always knew what was going on, and he knew exactly who was paying his bills, and he was thinking up new ideas, and he was collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars from these Indian tribes. So he's blamed John McCain, which also, so that there, for two reasons, that makes him a terrible CNN commentator. And let's just remind everybody that CNN claims to have, quote, the best political team on television.
But so, Melanie, didn't CNN disclose that Ralph Reed was in the Abramoff scandal and those sorts of things?
Oh, no. They just said he's a GOP strategist.
Ah.
So So GOP strategist who, one, is a proven liar, and two, has an obvious bias against one of the main Republican candidates, hates John McCain with a passion. Probably not the guy who should be part of the best political team on television. We sent a letter to CNN president laying all this out, saying, you know, they should stop having Ralph Reed as a commentator. They haven't responded. He wasn't at least a commentator during the South Carolina caucus, but we'll see if he pops up again.
Yeah. We do need truth in commentators. We see it all the time where Tom DeLay pops up on Hardball and nothing is mentioned about his legal problems or why he left the Congress. Trent Lott and John Breaux were on there with Matthews last week bragging about their new lobbying firm. And Trent Lott didn't tell the truth about why he was leaving Congress, and he fudged some of the dates about that. And, you know, Chris Matthews is not willing to call him on it in any way, shape, or form.
Melanie, he didn't say. He was just doing it for the money.
Right. One other issue I wanted to mention, you have an item up about Maxine Waters. And I like Maxine Waters. I like her politics. She was on the program just the other day. She stunned me by admitting that she voted wrong on the Homegrown Terrorist Act in this country. But we don't protect people on this program. And Crew has asked the House Committee on Administration to investigate the employment by Congresswoman Waters of one of her grandchildren.
Right. There are laws prohibiting nepotism in Congress, and you're not allowed to hire your son, your daughter, your first cousin, your niece or nephew, but apparently grandchild was left off the list. So who goes and hires their grandchild? Maxine Waters. At least she's the one we know about. And this is somebody who came straight out of college, so he certainly couldn't be more experienced or more relevant than somebody else. And it's obviously a problem. All of the kinds of reasons that we have for not allowing nepotism, for not allowing you to hire your niece or nephew, clearly apply to your grandchild. And the House Administration Committee should revisit this and apply the anti-nepotism rule to grandchildren as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to her about it next time we have a chance and see what she has to say. But on the face of it, I don't like it, and it shouldn't be that way. Melanie, thank you for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Melanie Sloan from CREW, that's C-R-E-W, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're going to go to the phones next. It's the Free Speech Zone. You can call with a comment on any subject, from any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and we pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2008 Honda Civic, a four-door compact. My demo has a 2-liter four-cylinder engine and a 6-speed manual transmission, delivering great acceleration and performance along with pretty good gas mileage. The power-assisted steering is tight, not as much work as the old Hondas. The Civic holds the road well. It's easy to park. Inside, it's roomy for its size, has all the accessories you want, moonroof, nav system, satellite radio, and a pretty good stereo with a plug for your iPod. The trunk is bigger than you'd expect, and with fold-down rear seats, you can carry some stuff. If I thought there's a major flaw in the Civic, I would have told you right here. By the numbers, the 2008 Honda Civic gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and sells in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We're getting traffic here on KRXA, and we are going to talk about the very latest. We're going to mention that we've got a, no problems reported in the Santa Cruz Mountains, which has been typically the case all afternoon long, so that certainly is some good news to report. Aroma is still working on that problem on eastbound 129 after Rogie Lane. Bobtail truck and a car blocking the eastbound lanes. One vehicle leaked about 10 gallons of fuel onto the roadway, and so CHP again. And fire department crews are on scene handling that situation. Getting word of a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Soda Springs Road at Alma Bridge, ice and snow in the lanes, and it's important that you folks drive with caution at this point. Elkhorn, Castroville Boulevard at Elkhorn Road, two-car crash blocking the roadway. The pain of being stuck in traffic only gets worse when you've got a sore throat. New Cepacol Dual Relief Spray numbs pain instantly with just one shot. It's a little spray with a big shot of relief. New Cepacol Dual Relief Spray. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speed zone. Your calls and comments, welcome here. I got three lines available, so grab one. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. First up, a couple of interesting emails. One from Susan. She writes, Peter, would you please stop telling people not to vote for Dennis in the primaries? She's referring to Kucinich. This is one of the states in which he does have a foothold. I was with Elizabeth Kucinich last night and this morning. I was totally re-inspired. I went to the bookshop after I watched the weekly update, which, after that horrible spectacle of the last debate, was totally refreshing and reminded me that there is sanity in the world. Dennis is the only candidate with ideas and plans to rebuild this country and its standing in the world, and character, talent, and ability to implement them. He's the only one who will get us out of Iraq, green the planet, provide health care, education for all, and bring jobs back to this country by ending NAFTA and CAFTA. Besides, he has a wife who is just as brilliant as he is. Well, Susan, first of all, a correction. I have never told anyone how to vote, including whether or not to vote for Dennis Kucinich. I have said what I will do, which is that given the situation, I think that it's most important to stop Hillary Clinton. And the latest California poll shows about an 11-point gap between Clinton and the nearest rival, which is Barack Obama. And John Edwards is so far back that you can't hitch on to that wagon either. And I have not discouraged anyone from voting for Dennis Kucinich. I simply say that my priority is to stop Clinton, and for that reason, I will not cast an ideological vote or an idealistic vote for Dennis Kucinich, even though, as I have said, he's right on all the issues, and I support him in that sense. So if you want to quibble with me about that, call the program and let's talk about it. But frankly, it's a difficult situation, and I believe that stopping Hillary is more important than trying to cast a vote for Dennis Kucinich, which can only go so far. And let's see, there's one other email here that I wanted to reference. And, it's not coming up right now. It relates to the Indian gaming ballot measures that are 94 through 97, and Duncan wanted to hear my thoughts about that. Basically, I'm a gambler. I like to play craps. They don't offer craps at Indian casinos, and it's not just because of that. But honestly, I feel that the Indian casino thing has gotten pretty big already. And so I'm actually going to vote against these compacts. In some ways, I think the money would be helpful, but it's not that much money to really help California in its budget crisis. And frankly, I think that the Indian gaming compacts benefit some tribes over others. And for that reason, I'm probably going to vote against them. Let's go to, to Sacramento. And Steve is on the line. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hi. How's it going?
Doing okay today. And you?
I'm staying busy. I didn't get a chance to explain all I wanted to tell you about the Independent Counsel Act at the Crest Theater the other night. And I did go down and register to vote today. And guess what? They had the adhesive on the ballot application to register to vote at the main office in Sacramento. They didn't have any in the Crest Theater stack, and they didn't have any in my local post office that had any glue. And the registrar the voters told me, well, you could have put it in an envelope and mailed it. Now, of course, it was a pre-stamped envelope or card where you didn't have to pay for it if you could have found something to stick it together.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, that's just another example of how they harass voters. But I wanted to talk about the Independent Counsel Act and compare it to the old law, which is still on the books. It's Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure Rule 3.
Mm-hmm.
Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure Rule 3 says that the Attorney General shall prosecute all crimes. Now, that was the law in effect when Watergate came down.
Yeah.
And apparently it didn't have any meaningful effect in stopping the federal courts from appointing special prosecutors.
Hey, Steve, I'm sorry I'm out of time here for this segment.
Sure.
Why don't you hold on? We'll come back after the break and hear you out. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join the conversation on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brian Urban is taking your calls. Be nice to him.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Ponce, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Midweek matchup at San Francisco State on Wednesday the 23rd. Then the Otters travel south to entertain UC San Diego. Game time, 7:30 p.m.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service. One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's time for more in the Free Speech Zone here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Tomorrow I fly to Washington, D.C., and Pat Morrow will be sitting in for me. Patrick or Pat, he goes by either name. Then Thursday and Friday we'll be originating live from the nation's capital, broadcasting from the Families USA Healthcare Conference. And the effort is to get that S-CHIP bill passed.
So extraordinary.
We'll dedicate that one to Tom Unsicker. We're going to get an update from him. Can you say Tuscaloosa? He'll be on with us in just a few minutes, but I wanted to finish up with Steve in Elk Grove. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
So the focus of your comment here is about the special prosecutor law that came out of the Nixon administration.
Right.
There was a bone of, right. There was a bone of contention during the Clinton years, and ultimately they let it expire rather than have Al Gore investigated for the Buddhist nuns who wrote him $1,000 checks at that temple in Los Angeles.
Well, actually, the I told you at the Crest Theater about Title 42 United States Code, Section 1984, appropriately enough, named after, I guess, a book written by George Orwell.
Mm-hmm.
But 1984, I think it was a post-civil rights law, and that allowed the courts, by federal statute, to appoint even a criminal defendant in a case if they found out that the regular prosecutor in the case was corrupt. The defendant could become the prosecutor. And the federal courts have interpreted that law as late as the late 1990s. I just haven't looked at it since then. But the fact that they were citing it as authority more than 40 years after the Congress said that it was omitted from the statutory code does give a statutory basis
mm-hmm.
for a court to appoint a special prosecutor.
But right. Now, Steve, yeah. Let's not get lost in Arcania of the law because we're going to leave our listeners in the dust here.
Okay, good. Okay.
But tell me what your central point is. What should we be doing about the special prosecutor?
Uh, I think that, well, first of all, Ed Schultz, legal commentator, Norman Goldman, has said that there can be special prosecutors appointed. Also, John Dean on Randy Rhoads' show said that you could appoint special prosecutors relating to the potential criminal contempt for the destruction of the recordings of the waterboarding, for instance, that could come up. Now, those are two legal commentators, you know, on other big shows around the country that agree that that special prosecutors are still viable options. But the reason that they are, as I said at the outset when I first talked to you about this, was that the courts of the United States have a duty and an obligation to prevent fraud, perjury, and deception from occurring on them. And if they can't do this, then the judges in the district trial courts and the circuit intermediate appellate courts can't give information to the U.S. Supreme Court to make the law of the land because they don't know what the facts are. And so the U.S. Supreme Court needs judges that are getting honest information so that the Supreme Court itself can eventually rule on that information. And when government lawyers, and I've had this happen in my cases that I'm personally involved in, at the district court or the circuit court level, routinely commit fraud, perjury, and deception on the court, the courts won't and don't tolerate it. And it's just it's not generally known publicly that this is going on. But you could be appointed a special federal prosecutor without even asking to be one under the clause in the prayer to the court that you ask the court to grant you such relief as it deems just and proper under the circumstances, which was happened in my case. Yeah. I didn't know I was a special prosecutor for 10 years, but I was one. I just thought I was some sort of a federal assistant to a judge that was replacing government lawyers because they were being dishonest to the court, and I wasn't.
All right, Steve, I got to stop there because I need to take some other calls here, but thanks for calling today, and we'll talk about it again, I'm sure. Nancy in Winters, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, I just had a couple things. First thing, like you, I was shocked when Maxine Waters admitted she had made a mistake in that vote.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I just thought I'd encourage your listeners to call their congresspeople if they voted the wrong way. And
well, there were only
her efforts.
There
that's were, what I did with my congressman.
There were only five people who voted against
right.
it, so
yeah.
it's pretty safe. Dennis
yeah.
Kucinich was one, and I can't remember who the other four were.
Yeah, I know it wasn't my congressman. So I called, and I just asked him to, you know, do the same. And so maybe other people can do that with their congresspeople as well. And then the other thing, I just was curious about an update on Lieutenant Eric Schein. Do you know anything that's, you know?
Yeah, he's the whistleblower with a complicated case. He was serving in the Merchant Marine, and the Coast Guard has attempted to court-martial him, and they have detained him in ways that appear to be illegal. I tried to get some interest in his case at the Center for Constitutional Rights, and so far I haven't found a connection there.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't have anything new from my side. Perhaps there have been other developments that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. And then, did you do your update on Sybil Edmonds? Because I know I heard you say you were going to, and I don't know if I missed it.
We did yesterday.
Oh,
yes. And
darn.
if you want to grab the podcast, go to peterbcollins.com. And it was the second half of hour one yesterday.
Oh, okay.
With Luke Ryland, who is an Australian journalist.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And there's also great coverage of it at bradblog.com. Brad has done an excellent job on this.
Oh, okay.
So there are your resources. Go for it, Nancy.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
You got it. We got Tom Unsicker on the line checking in from Alabama today. Can you say Tuscaloosa?
Oh, I can say Tuscaloosa, and I have been there and gone, Peter B.
You've been there and gone? You passed it up?
Oh, yeah. I'm east of Birmingham right now.
Holy cow.
You're in a place called Irondale.
You're flying.
Well, actually, I didn't do much flying today. I took today off. It was icy rain all day today. And I'd had 3 or 4 days of 24 degrees plus headwinds and needed to thaw out a little bit. So,
now, Tom, who authorized you to take a day off?
Actually, I waved my own magic wand. It was my feet that said, "You're not moving today."
Feet don't fail me now.
You got it.
Well, if you took the day off, what did you do with yourself in Alabama?
Well, I caught up a little bit on my blog, did some computer work. I also slept a lot and ate a lot and talked to a few people and basically just rested and stored up for tomorrow. I'm going to try to make it into Georgia tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I see. Well, that looks like over 100 miles.
Yeah, it's going to be about 110 to Bremen. Bremen, Georgia, from where I am now.
All right. So you're going to get an early start?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, rested up well, and the temperature is not supposed to be freezing tonight, which is good.
Now, if you just are hearing Tom for the first time, I want you to go to his website, CourageToCongress.com. He departed from Santa Cruz December 15th. That seems like so long ago. And he's riding his bike with a trailer on the back to Washington, D.C. The trailer has precious cargo. It's little packets, little bags of balls. And Tom's whole purpose is to bring some cojones to Washington and get a little courage to Congress. And, Tom, it's more important than ever. We've been talking a little bit about my conversation with Maxine Waters. And she, of course, is a leader in the Out of Iraq Caucus and the Progressive Caucus. And my first question to her was, are the Democrats dialing back? Are they going to avoid confronting the Bush administration during this election year? And she said she's afraid so. And we have seen it while last night's debate from South Carolina did include commentary from the Democratic candidates about Iraq. For the large part, we're seeing it kind of pushed back in the debate, and economic issues, bread and butter issues, are taking precedence. And I'm not opposed to economic issues, but I do want to keep the focus on the most important issue here, which is the mess that Bush has created in Iraq and how we're going to extricate ourselves. And it seems that Democrats are kind of taking a cue from the reports of, you know, less violence in Iraq and assuming that voters aren't as interested. But I think that you and I and everybody else, I think it's incumbent on us to keep this issue front burner and make sure that not only is it addressed in the presidential campaign, but that Congress actually takes action this year to move us out of Iraq.
I couldn't agree with you more, Peter B. And what I'm hearing in Alabama and what I heard in Arkansas, two states that give more to the military in terms of bodies than practically any other states in the Union, I'm hearing from the dependents and the families that they want their people home, and they want them home now. And I couldn't agree with you more that those issues have to be kept on the front burner, not put on the back like the media is attempting to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you want to give us one or two anecdotes of your encounters?
Well, you know, the serious one was that all of the military families that I've been hearing want their sons, daughters, brothers and sisters home, and that's on both sides of the aisle. They have different ways that they want to bring them home, but they all want them home. The interesting one was is that because it's been so cold, I've been stopping around noon for coffee, more to warm my hands than for energy, and I was at a McDonald's having my cup and had to use the restroom, and as I came out of the restroom, four ladies came in, took one look at me in my cycling gear wearing my Pink Floyd cow jersey, and they burst out laughing, and they could not control themselves. They tried valiantly, but they couldn't, and so they headed to the ladies' room, and I could hear them in there, you know, kind of snorting and choking and trying to get themselves back under control. They came out with grins and snickers and sat at the table behind me. I finished my conversation with a couple of young people, and that young lady that I was speaking with was refreshing. Her desire was, or her statement about what she wanted me to tell Congress was, that president got to go.
Well, we got 1 year to go to get him to go.
Oh, yeah, and I hope that they'll do something, you know, sooner than that. At any rate, I spoke with the ladies and explained what I was doing, and all four of them promised to start making the calls to Congress. So sometimes looking like a court jester does have a positive impact.
Oh, you're a king of spandex. Come on.
Oh, hey, I'm looking better in spandex every day, let me tell you.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you for this report. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on the road to Washington. We'll be live from Washington on Thursday and Friday, so feel free to check in on Thursday or Friday, and we'll talk to you from there.
Will do, Peter B., and thank you very much for all of the things that you've been doing. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I don't really have a choice. Thank you, Tom.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Now we go to Cincinnati Bob, who's checking in from Asheville, North Carolina, listening online. Good to hear from you, Bob.
Yes. Hello, Peter B.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. You do remember me.
I sure do.
Okay, well, the reason I'm calling is I'm right in the middle of reading a book. It's called The Smartest Guys in the Room.
Mm-hmm.
And in reading this, I had my point was that I had realized that what went on at Enron is exactly the same thing, considering the economic situation that we face at this very moment, is the same thing that Bush has been doing since he's been in office. He's been switching assets all over the place.
Right, and hiding our losses offshore.
Yes, indeed. And that was really my point. I tried to relate it somewhat to your guest speaker about 10 minutes ago, but I can't remember now what it was. But
well, Bob, let me suggest this. When you're finished with Smartest Guy in the Room, the next book I'd like to suggest for you is called The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein.
And that relates to Iraq.
No, not directly. There's a chapter in there about Iraq, but it talks about the history of the Chicago School of Economics and Milton Friedman and the projection of American economic values onto other countries, sometimes taking advantage of crises in that country, sometimes moving them along a little bit, and often injecting torture.
That goes a little bit far afield of what I was thinking, but the fact is that economically, a shock is what they have been doing to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how it all ties together. So when you have a chance, pick that book up, or if you go to truthout.org, there are a couple of great interviews with Naomi Klein that help explain her comments and her thinking. And it's very powerful stuff and a must-read for Americans. Thank you, Bob. Good to hear from you today from North Carolina. We're going to take a break and return. More of your phone calls next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
And it's been a pretty good evening, to say the least. We do have a problem now being reported, though. It is in, let's check it out. CHP telling us about Aroma. Still working that problem on 129 eastbound after Rogie Lane. Bobtail truck and a car blocking eastbound lanes. One vehicle leaked about 10 gallons of fuel onto the roadway. CHP and fire department remain on scene. Santa Cruz Mountain, Soda Springs at Alma Bridge, ice and snow in the lanes, and it is really advised to drive with caution. Elkhorn, Castroville Boulevard at Dolan, two vehicle crash reportedly blocking lanes. CHP is there. Del Monte Force, Congress Road at Magella. It's a crash, no details, but CHP is already present. H&R Block has more than 110,000 tax professionals in over 12,000 offices. Well, put one of them to work for you. Call 800-H&R Block or visit YouGotPeople.com today. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. In just a couple of minutes, Gary Chu, our film reviewer, is going to join us. Talk about some of his picks for the Oscars nominees announced. And he'll run that down for us shortly here. And just about 20 minutes ago, I read an email from Susan in SoCal, and she's on the line now. Hi, Susan.
Hi, you challenged me to call you.
Yes, I did.
Oh, here I am. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that you were... It's not that you're telling people not to vote for Dennis, it's just that when you say what you say, it adds up to the same thing.
Well, I disagree, because I'm telling you how I plan to vote, but I have never told you, Susan, how I think you should vote.
That's true.
And I make that distinction very clear in my broadcast career.
Yes,
I've made it a point not to try to say...
You do have influence.
I understand that.
And
I try to use it appropriately as opposed to, again, telling people how they should make a selection.
I understand, but it is kind of more of a semantical thing than anything.
And I'm getting some negative emails from people who think that I should never say a critical word of Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
And I will not pull punches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you what is on my bald head.
Right.
And you're welcome to respond and react accordingly.
Yeah, well, I just want to remind people that Dennis is still out there, and it is amazing that he hasn't even lost more ground by the way that he's been treated, being kept out of everything. And the thing, I guess, that disturbs me the most is that nobody sticks up for him. Clinton and Obama and Edwards don't say, hey, wait a minute, he qualifies, why don't you have him in there?
Right,
you know,
and Edwards...
move on, you don't have anybody doing that.
Edwards gets invited to the debates and then ends up with 4% of the vote.
Yeah.
And he got 17% in New Hampshire.
They don't
I want to be
give him much
clear about
either.
That. But Edwards should be there stumping for Dennis and saying,
exactly.
You know, he should be on this stage too.
Exactly. So I would invite people to... Write the stations, call them, write to the other campaigns, write to Move On. I wrote to Move On today. I wrote to Credo today because they don't even mention Dennis or what's going on. And after seeing Elizabeth and being reminded of just how really, truly wonderful these people are, I'm in it. And I've jumped back into the campaign. So
all right.
Now working for him.
Gotcha, Susan. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Always a pleasure to hear from you. Chris and Salinas, a quick comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, you say you're going to vote for Obama to squeeze out Hillary, yet I don't really see any difference between Obama and Hillary. And, you know, you got to look at his votes. He's never been really vetted, and I don't care what anybody says. His votes in the Senate for the war, his actions in the Senate in Illinois are very telling, you know, except for people don't even know what those are. So where do you... I don't see a difference between Hillary and Obama.
All right, it's pretty simple and cut and dried for me, that Hillary had her opportunity, and while she touts her leadership and experience, what I look at is that she made a serious blunder in the fall of 2002, and she has failed to recognize that and address it. And so every time she talks about experience, I shout back at the TV, I'm sorry, Hillary, the experience you have is what disqualifies you for my vote. And I agree there are some open questions about Obama. I don't consider him to be perfect. I would prefer to be supporting John Edwards because I think that he would fight harder and be working much more for working families in this country. But we've got to be realistic about the hand that is dealt, or at least the cards that are available at this point. And to me, the Clinton family represents a potential loss for the Democrats next year. And if she did manage to get elected, I don't know how she would maneuver around the ex-president who sleeps with her. And so I just have serious questions, and I also think that the Republicans would be fully united against Hillary if she is the nominee. And I think Obama does have the ability to appeal beyond the Democratic Party as it's currently defined. Chris, I'm tight for time here, but let's talk about it again, okay?
All right, I'll call you. Bye.
Always open to it. Gary Chu joins us now, our film reviewer from Sacramento. Hi, Gary.
Peter B., good to hear your voice.
Well, it's nice to hear yours. I hope you're feeling better. We missed you last week over at the screening at the Crest.
I am feeling better, but I did enjoy the film. I was nice enough, you were nice enough to send me a DVD so I could see it and do a review on it.
Well, great. Let's talk about the Oscar nominees. You've got Choose choices for the Oscar. And let's focus first on Best Picture.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what's your pick there?
Oh, Atonement. I think Atonement will get it. There Will Be Blood, maybe, and No Country for Old Men. Actually, let me back off on this just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Atonement is the best of the five. No Country for Old Men will probably win it, but There Will Be Blood might too.
Yeah,
that's hedging bets as much as I possibly can.
I've only seen two of the five. I really liked Atonement. I thought There Will Be Blood was powerful. It had a few issues with it, but
two.
Daniel Day-Lewis was fabulous in that film.
Yes, he was. No Country was a good film, too. I'm very pleased Tommy Lee Jones has been nominated for Best Actor in the Valley of Elah,
mm-hmm.
because that's a good activist advocacy film, very patriotic with a very strong message. He won't win, unfortunately. I think that Daniel Day-Lewis will win, just like you said. Best Actress, I'm hoping Ellen Page in Juno will win.
Mm.
Best Supporting Actor, I think that probably will be Javier Bardem for No Country for Old Men. Best Supporting Actress will be probably Cate Blanchett for the Dylan film, I'm Not There.
I haven't seen that yet. I want to, too.
It's kind of strange, but it's interesting, particularly for Dylan fans.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm hurrying here, Peter, because I'm looking at my clock, too. I'm sort of doing the same thing you do.
Yeah, Best Director.
Yeah, Best Director. I think the Best Director are the Coen brothers for No Country for Old Men, but I think Paul Thomas Anderson will win it.
For There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best Original Screenplay, I'm hoping Diablo Cody will win for Juno.
Well, I'm going to have to catch up on Juno. Apparently that's an award-winning film.
It's a delightful film. It'll take your head in a different place, Peter. And have a good trip to Washington tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much, Gary. We'll talk to you again real soon. That's Gary Chu. I'm Peter B. Collins. Pat Morrow sits in tomorrow. We'll be live from Washington Thursday and Friday right here.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds?
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happened.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Stocks are sharply higher in early Wednesday trading on the Asian markets, a sign of stability now that Wall Street's avoided a crash. The market opened today with the Dow taking a 465-point plunge, only to reverse course and close just 128 points lower.
Broker Doreen McGovero credits the big interest rate cut by the Fed.
I think it certainly helped. The market would have been devastated had we not had some emergency action, so I think that was very good.
The Fed slashed 0.75% from its benchmark rate and might make a further cut at its regular meeting next week. What are investors to do? CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes takes a look.
This was a roller coaster ride 63-year-old Carlos Sosa didn't want to take.
I said, you had 60, that's it. You had 62, that's it. And I'm going to be 64 next week. And I said, wow, I'm not saying that anymore.
Financial advisors say whether you're 34 or 64, now is not the time to panic and sell.
It's paper losses. As soon as they pull out, it's a real loss.
For now, the Sosas will keep the faith, but they'll also keep working. Sandra Hughes, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Let's put a smile on that face.
The next installment of the Batman movies comes out this summer with Heath Ledger as the Joker. Tragically, it's his final role. The Australian-born actor was found dead this afternoon in a New York City apartment. WCBS Radio's Peter Haskell has details.
A massage therapist showed up for an appointment this afternoon. A housekeeper was there. The housekeeper went to the bedroom to wake him up. They found him unresponsive. 911 was called, and at 3:45, he was pronounced dead.
Police say there were sleeping pills near the body. Heath Ledger was 28. The Republican field narrowed again today as Fred Thompson abandoned his run for the White House.
Appreciate it.
I'm Peter King.
Senator, we voted for you this morning.
Bless your heart.
This was Fred Thompson's last meet and greet, Saturday afternoon, South Carolina primary day at a gun show in Columbia. That night, many said he sounded like a man about to become a former candidate.
My friends, we will always be bound by a close bond.
Thank you.
Thompson never started a Florida primary push. The campaign that began with